Congratulations, your morning just got a bit classier. A media legend, a ferocious linebacker, a clueless producer, and you.
Searching for a replacement window online? Visit windownation.com today.
So raise a glass and act accordingly. This is Bishop and Laurinaitis.
All right, let's do it live on a Tuesday edition of the program. How you living, threes?
I'm great, man. I'm great. I got an unbelievable workout in this morning, something that's totally new for me.
What's the difference between, like, what makes it unbelievable? What's the step up that makes it elite or unbelievable? What's the...
Yeah.
I mean, come on, Body by Mick. What's the difference?
Yeah, well, no. My thumbprint doesn't work anymore, thanks to COVID.
Bob's got that retina scanner. Get that sorted out.
Listen, there's only one Bobby Carpenter.
That's true.
I can't. I haven't worked out at the facility. I don't think since like 2014. I don't think I've worked out at Ohio State. Maybe even earlier.
Well, you're not gonna though, right? Like it's so far from your place. You're not gonna be. You know,
yeah. Well, I mean, for the longest
chopper
time,
10 and chopper down there.
Yeah. No. Plus, it was just depressing. Like, later I got in my career, and I'm, like, you know, struggling to squat because my knee hurt, and, you know, I'm putting on 315. You look over, and you got, like, running backs doing 500, and you're like, all right, well, this sucks. That's the guy you have to tackle, so this is dumb. he's stupid. No, it's because I went and did something new that I've never done before.
Okay.
And that was... that was a boxing cardio class. And
a boxing cardio class?
So up,
you, like
up,
with other humans,
here,
or were you
up here
watching
near
it?
Us is, okay. Is a place called Peak Human Performance. All right. It's great.
Okay.
It's elite. It's awesome. Love it.
Okay.
So it's my first time back. I'm like, you know what? I'm going to go there for strength training on Monday, Wednesday, Friday just to change it up. I know the workouts
Mix
to do,
up.
But it's like I go in there, I get tired or I get lazy, and I'm like, no one's watching
sure.
me. So let's just, you know, let's – all right. Bench, 225, no. Let's just do 185. Shoulder hurts. You know, I have no one pushing me. And so
– yeah.
Anyway, I've been spoiled since high school. I've been told what to do in a weight room, right? Even before then, actually, since eighth grade, all
sure.
right, when the animal was my trainer. And so,
God,
I drink that. What is it? It's a metal ball. What's in the metal ball? Don't worry about it. Just drink it. Okay.
Innocent you. That's just great. I mean, Young Rock took it from us. It's a shame because it's a series. Like, just innocent you trying to navigate and the animal just getting on you with your drinks. I just think it's fantastic. It's just waiting to be done.
Bro.
It's a shame. Young Rock beat us to it.
Dude.
The Rock.
I'll say is that was the most delicious tasting protein drink. I got to look up actually what was even in it. But all I know is that it was, I don't even know if it's around. It can't be around anymore. It can't.
Anyway. You were drinking? Was it a chocolate? What do you remember
I know it was chocolate, but trust me, the brand probably involved some kind of horse hormone. Anyway.
There's no question. Yes,
anyway,
there's no question that was involved. As you were saying.
As I was saying. So I do all this. Anyway, so I'm trying to get back into, like, you know, a little bit more of a structured weightlifting. And the trainer goes, well, how about you just come to boxing tomorrow? I was like, okay, sure. So I went in there at 5:30 to this boxing class. And
okay.
You're basically hitting the bags in this. It's a cardio thing. So you're hitting the bags on these combos, and it's nonstop for multiple minutes. And then you go over to the side, and you're doing jumping jacks while you're not hitting the bags. And then you're doing a bike for a mile, and then you're doing the rower for 500 meters, and it's nonstop for an hour. I looked at one of the water breaks. I took my gloves off after doing a three-minute session on the heavy bag, and I look at my heart rate, 181. I was like, oh,
wow,
okay, we're crushing it. So
we're going now.
Yeah, so anyway, a nice little, as I look at my watch, 810 calories down today by 9:06 a.m.
Wow, look at you.
Consider that a good morning. Consider that a good morning.
That's an elite job out of you. That's an elite job of you. Do you have anything in your athletic history from a streak standpoint that jumps out and you said, boy, I was proud of that?
Yeah, the 116 straight starts before I retire.
That's pretty good.
Yeah. Yeah, something like that.
That's pretty good.
I don't know. It was around there somewhere. Somebody had me sign it on Saturday. So it has
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, buddy, the amount of stuff that Can you write on there three-time All-American, three-time All-Big Ten first team, sure. two-time Defensive Player of the Year for the Big Ten, you know, the awards.
Yeah.
And then write 4 gold pants, 4-0 versus Michigan. I'm like, those two things are the same. I know, but I want them both. All right. And then Michigan sucks. Okay. The Michigan sucks things. It's hard. I work for the Big Ten Network.
Michigan sucks. Anyway. Where's the vitriol come from? They've sucked for a long time. Like, this isn't new.
You can tell by age. Young people don't care to write Michigan
Young people
sucks.
Don't care Michigan
The old
sucks,
people are, yeah. I mean, they're going to celebrate that until, I mean,
you know,
it doesn't matter.
It's good for you, though, because what you have that type of affirmation that happens in certain situations like that, and then you come home, and Cersei wants to throw away your medals. So it's a good balance
it's
for you.
It's a great balance.
You want to
hear an absolute perfect text exchange this morning? Here it is.
Yes,
will you make sure the girls' clothes are dry and then pull them out and fold them today during work? Please and thank you. I put, of course.
Yeah.
London goes, Mommy, you don't know if he's going to do it or not, so why do you say please and thank you? That a girl.
Well,
that a girl. Way to pick up on that.
Yeah, it's not a request. It's not a request. It's an order.
Request. It was when they say please and
order.
Thank you, the and thank
yeah.
you, that's a, you're getting
That's a
done.
Mood. That detects done. A mood. That means yeah. that it's not been great. The kids have not been great.
Yesterday
three...
during the show, I thought, my goodness, I could hear the disciplining happening. And I'm like, ooh,
yeah.
that's – I usually go down after the first break, right before they take off to school. And yesterday I was like, I'm going to stay up here. It's probably
stay
better
up
for
here.
Everybody.
Yeah, there's no reason to go out there. That's hostile waters.
It is.
Amy this morning had three times told the boys to come down to eat. They're watching the Mighty Ducks series on Disney Plus upstairs.
Yeah.
And I know that they can hear her. Okay, I know that I can hear her in my office. I know they can hear her upstairs, clearly.
Yeah.
They're just ignoring her. So then I got to come in as like the heavy, like I'm the muscle, and say, yeah. down here now. So then they come, and then so the thing that matters most to Black Cobra, my oldest 9-year-old, is bedtime.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he will lose his mind if I take 5 minutes off the bedtime. Lose his mind. I mean,
yeah.
can't process it. It wrecks his day. So he didn't listen. I said, did you hear your mom? No, I didn't hear her. I said, it's impossible. You're lying. It's impossible. No, I didn't hear. Okay, fine. I just want to watch you in the show. I said, well, it's going to cost you 10 minutes off your bedtime tonight. Meltdown.
Yep.
Like, I can take anything else away. The bedtime is the end of the – that's the end of the line for him. So, yeah, this is what you do. I asked you about streaking because
this
we have two
– parenting. Yeah. This is called parenting.
That's it.
Yeah,
because you can't raise jerks. That's really my number one job, I think.
My favorite is when they come down in the morning, and literally it's, we've been taking your pull-up off for dang near a year and a half, and it's not even, hey, Daddy, will you come help me take off my pull-up, which she can do on her own, but she's
sure,
just always tired in the morning, doesn't want to. Sure, honey. I would love to. Let's walk over there together. This would be a grand morning. Instead, it's the foot stomp. Nobody's helped me take off my pull-up. Look at her. Feel my blood pressure go up to like 170 over whatever and be like, try again. Let's try this again. But nobody's helped me. You didn't even ask, you know, and then you're already, yeah, I try to be patient for one exchange and then it spirals.
Yeah.
Spirals.
It's off the rails, brother.
Yeah.
I asked you about the streaking, which is very impressive that you had that many consecutive starts. Really, really impressive. We have two that happened last night in different ways and different type of accomplishments, and I think both are very, very impressive. So Patrick Marleau broke Gordie Howe's record for NHL games played, 1,768, over 23 seasons.
That's incredible.
Now, Gordie Howe played in an era where I believe there were 60 games, not 82. Certainly did not have access. I mean, you look at the guys who played then. They were like just there wasn't strength training.
Right.
weren't dietitians. Like,
what do you mean?
You mean
the stories of them having a smoke right there on the side of the
– Oh, my gosh. Len Dawson at halftime of the Super Bowl just, you know, taking down a heater. Like, this is a common thing. I've talked to various guys who have played, like, in the NFL in the 70s, and they talk about, you know, drinking a beer at halftime. And I mean, this is just – it was such a – we've come
pill
so
cups.
Far.
Walking around with pill cups.
Yeah.
Which
yeah.
ones will get you, you know – fired up,
yeah.
which ones will let you come back down?
We've come so far in that, and I don't know when that when strength training happened. I remember in college football, it happened with Nebraska was the first one.
Nebraska, which led notoriously.
That led to their dominance, right?
Let's prove putting on muscle will actually, because the big thought then was muscle will make them slower.
Right.
So how can we prove that, and the strength coach was like, trust me, these guys will be stronger and they'll get more explosive. And they're like, what? What is that? How is that possible? Blasphemy. You know,
right.
Next thing you know, all of a sudden, oh, look at what Nebraska did in the field. Okay. And then they're on to something, off and running. Yeah.
The thing that's amazing about Marlowe is he's 41. He's done it almost entirely with San Jose. Had some stretches in Pittsburgh, Toronto, but mostly with San Jose, which is an interesting market, right? I mean, I think we forget about it, even though they've been really good for a long time. But it's those West Coast markets, those games are 10 o'clock puck drops. Yeah. You just don't see a lot of them play.
Yeah.
But he's done. I wouldn't have guessed this. I wouldn't have guessed that he was up for this. I assumed that he was still in the league. I guess I didn't realize it had been 23 seasons since he's been playing. What's amazing is the why.
Yep.
That he's still after it. And this could be something that he has chased and put it on his thing and said, I want that. That's because it's one of those things that'll never, I don't imagine it ever falling. I mean, the Gordie Howe record was there for, if Gordie Howe holds the record, that's a long time.
Yeah.
Mike, think about that. It's very likely that this is one of those that will be there forever.
That is a, sorry, I was taking a big swig of water because I'm dehydrated from that boxing.
It's okay. It was a short stop from me.
That boxing little match this morning against the bag. I think it's definitely a why. I think at some point in his career, he looked up. And there's always those game notes that the PR people put out. And because it never occurred to me, this is a true story, it never occurred to me until year 6 out of my 7 years in St. Louis. It never occurred to me that I was even approaching the Rams' all-time tackle list. And I was like, hold on. This is within reach? Like within a couple years? And they're like, yeah, dude. Like this is within reach. You can pass Merlin Olsen. And I was like, Merlin has it? I'm like, how does it? I'm like, I guess, yeah, because London Fletcher didn't really stay here very long. And I was kind of just dumbfounded. I'm like, Youngblood? And so I'm kind of going through.
I would have thought Youngblood,
look it up. And so then, when I got close, like then that becomes your why. Like you're like, okay, what are you still motivated to play for? I already had like, of course you're trying to play for Pro Bowls, for playoffs, all that stuff. But I'm like, oh, dude, you're not making the Pro Bowl because we're not going to make the playoffs. And there's a really elite Hall of Famer in the NFC named Luke Kuechly and Bobby Wagner. And early in my career, Patrick Willis.
Yeah,
so
Patrick
I'm like,
Willis,
come on, dude, like you're not. They had two damn Pro Bowlers on the Niners and Willis and Navarro before he shredded his knee. So. Anyway, so you're like, I can reach that. I can reach that, you know? And so I think it's probably one of those things where he's playing and he gets up to 1,600 or something. Like, hold on, I'm within 1,000. Oh, well, that's just so-and-so year. Okay, maybe I can do that. That'd be about one heck of a deal to, you know? So these are little things that will continue to motivate you to keep on keeping on and to achieve something cool.
And it's something that, and I remember talking to Joe Thomas about this with his consecutive snap streaks, like 10,000 consecutive snaps.
Yeah.
And what he said was that he didn't even think of it as anything other than this is my job.
No doubt.
I'm being paid to play. You and him are so similar. I'm being paid to play. If we're on offense, then I'm the left tackle.
Right.
Like I don't understand. Like, why wouldn't I do it? This is the job. This is
what I
do.
There's a little bit of concern too with me being Wally Pipped. Because I knew I was not the most athletic ever in any linebacker room I ever played in, going back to high school.
Yeah.
So it was kind of like, I don't care if I'm sore. I don't care if my quad feels like it might rip off. I don't care if my knee hurts. Like, if we're on defense, I'm the Mike linebacker. I'm setting the
front.
That's
your job. Yeah.
I'm showing my worth every day, every practice.
Yeah. Right.
And I'm going to show that they can't do it as good as I can. Mm-hmm. So if he might be more athletic, but he ain't going to make this check and tell you why he made the check and do it. I'll over-explain myself. I'll tell you. I mean,
yeah, right.
Why'd you
make
that check? Well, coach, I mean, 4 times out of 6, they're what the hell did you just say? It doesn't matter. It made sense to me. Boom. That's why I set the front that way. Oh, okay. Greg used to laugh at me all the time because I'd do it, and I knew because you want to put him in on dime. You want to put him? Okay. Good luck setting the front. You know, I was trying to always just prove your worth. It was a little bit of like I don't want to get Wally pipped.
Yeah.
Prove somebody else more athletic can do my job. No, because that means I'm fired.
Yeah, right, right. The other thing that happened last night is Steph Curry. So Steph Curry is the first player in NBA history, age 33 or older, to score 30 or more points in 11 straight games. Kobe did it in 10 straight in 2012. Mm. In April, Curry is shooting 50% on threes. He's making 7.2 a game, and he's averaging 40 a game in April at age 33. You know, he's... Yeah, it's pretty crazy. He's making an outside run at MVP. Kobe did this the year he averaged 35, and they were the 8 seed, and that's what, you know, Steph's trying to get the Warriors into that 8 seed despite all the injuries that they have. There's also been a ton of injuries to Embiid and LeBron, and nobody kind of knows what to do with MVP, so he's kind of making a run at it. He is probably, when the career is done, one of the five most influential players in NBA history. Because what he did is he revolutionized the way we play the game almost independently. Now, it helps that he had Klay Thompson, but their ability to shoot the three and to shoot it from deep used to be you shot as close to the line as you could. He's never cared about that. He's never cared about being as close. Now you see, you know, Dame Lillard shooting from half court. I mean, now it's common to shoot from back there. Steph was the first to do that, and it opened up a lot of things, and I think probably a lot of negative things too. And I see it even with my kids, where they do this layup line in AAU, and all these kids try to shoot threes, and they make 1 out of 10. It's like, okay, well, I'm glad we're doing that. Let's keep practicing that shot, you idiots. None of them are strong enough to shoot it right. So the trickle down, it goes all the way down to little kids thinking that everybody needs to be able to shoot threes, but he actually is elite at it. And has changed the game. And at this age, to have this type of run in him, and I tip my hat to him because this Warriors team's not winning anything. And he was on Warriors teams that are some of the greatest teams of all time. And he still plays hard. So there's a common thread there of what's your... Like, he didn't take a whole lot of nights off unless he's hurt, even on bad teams.
Yeah.
So you have to respect it. And this is an incredible run that he certainly is on. So we had two streakings happening last night, in the sports world. A streak continued on the negative side of things with your Blue Jackets. And I would just say it's not a big deal. And we will get into that coming up next. Justin Fields with some momentum now at number 3 for the 49ers. Big Ten East preview continues. We're on Maryland today. It's Tuesdays with DeBerry at 10 o'clock. Jody will join us. Plus, this Super League coming to European soccer might not be that far off from college football as well. We get into all of it here on a Tuesday edition. Bishop and Laurinaitis right here on The Fan.
Winners of the prestigious Platinum Microphone Award every year, given to the best radio station in the world. No need to look it up. It's real. The Fan. Well-dressed, well-spoken, but never, ever a well-drink.
How about chaos?
Insanity. Absolute insanity.
You're listening to Bishop and Laurinaitis.
Bishop and Laurinaitis is right here on The Fan. I've been a customer of Jermaine Toyota for almost 2 years now. I want to go anywhere else. I've wanted a new car, truck, SUV, minivan, if that's what floats your boat. And their customer service is simply unreal. Go over there, say hello to Buddy or DeLacy, my two friends over at 5711 Scarborough Boulevard. Well, I guess you can try to see them on the line at germaintoyota.net. But go say hello east of our beautiful downtown Columbus, Jermaine Toyota.
The Blue Jackets have lost 6 in a row. I didn't watch last night.
That's fine. That's fine. It's all right.
It is.
I tried to watch. I tried to watch, and then you see, you know, an unfortunate bounce off your best defenseman, Seth Jones, skates right to the front of the net. Boom, it biscuit in the basket, and you're like, well, I guess I should probably turn this thing off here.
So this is the first time they've fallen below Detroit in the Central standings. Mm. We're now dead last in the Central. 6 straight losses, 1-8-1 in the last 10. 1-8-1 in the last 10.
Here, right? So, although I'm not sure.
You're in a conversation. Now, unfortunately, the bottom is probably too far for you to reach. Now, you have games in hand with New Jersey and Buffalo and Ottawa. And who else is in the mix for this? Anaheim is in the mix with this. The Kings are in the mix for this. You have games in hand on most of those teams. This is what you want, unfortunately. And I ask this question to Jody, and I'll pose it to you as a professional athlete. When losing is the best, how do you maintain How do you create culture amidst losing? How do you keep culture in losing? Because there was a culture here.
Yeah.
You have guys like Atkinson skating around who knows all about it. You've got guys who know it. How do you make sure that that isn't lost? How do you make sure that Seth Jones isn't watching this going, I'm not doing this? No thanks, man. I'm out.
The hard thing is that for all these guys that we're mentioning, this is still a relatively new experience for them as far as, you know, the losing.
We haven't had to, buddy, right. This was common when I first got here. It was the race to see if we could get the number one pick in the draft and get a game changer.
Yep.
That's what we were trying to do. Like, get us our Crosby. That's what we were trying to do when I first got here 15 years ago. The intimate conversations
that the vets should be having should be saying, hey, guys, like, real talk, we don't know what's going to happen with Torts. We don't know what's going to happen with any of us. But you're not just playing for one. If you love the game of hockey, you're going to get everything you got. That's easy.
Yeah.
Right? But if you need a little extra motivator, you're playing for the next guy or you're playing for the next team. But we're not all guaranteed positions in the league. Right? So
no.
You're playing for... If you put bad... Like, we used to always say to guys, like, because trust me, the reason why I'm saying it is I was in this position every damn year of my NFL career. To where you got to a certain point, sometimes it'd be October, sometimes it'd be November, December, where you realize, okay, we're officially eliminated from playoff contention.
Yeah.
And the vets, and then when I became a vet, would always say, don't put bad stuff on tape.
Right.
Just don't put, because it's going to affect your money, if that's what motivates you. It's going to affect your ability to keep playing. If it's for the love of the game, it's going to, you know, there's numerous things here that are in your control. Your attitude, your energy, the way you're approaching practice and the games. Just don't let it affect your bottom line and your career by just getting in a negative Nancy kind of cancerous mode to try to, you know, complaining about everything and not trying. No, like, have Yarmo look at you or have another GM look at you and say, no, they're not part of the problem. They're part of the solution here to this. And I want him to be a part of it. And that's what you try to play for. I mean, the second goal.
Yeah, for sure.
Second goal last night was frustrating because you felt like, I think it was Stenlin, was back-checking and he's right in position. Just doesn't lift the stick up on a 3-on-2. Might have been a second or third goal. And it was boom, boom, boom in the net. And you're like, you're right there. One more stride, stick up. There's no way he gets the, you know, stick on the puck. Instead, it's in the back of your net. And you're like, all right. I mean, those are the little plays that have irked them all year.
I think that the thing that is, you mentioned the Tortorella thing, and that's hanging over. I can't see any scenario where he's back.
I'm starting to get there.
I can't. I don't. And it's not necessarily due to merit. It just might be that, is he the coach to reach this young? Because this team's going to be very different. Very different.
Right.
He is a guy where you got a Nick Foligno, you got a Brandon Dubinsky.
Veteran.
You got those guys who
veteran
can take
Bunch.
It.
Yep.
Yeah, they
want to
go
guys.
Chase something.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
That's Tortorella. When you talk about a rebuild, and that's what this is. This isn't a tweak and reload. It's not. It's just real talk. It's not that. This is going to be a rebuild, and I think the fan base is fine with it. Probably more than fine with it. But this is going to be a project now over a couple of years. To get back to where you were and hopefully build something that can be even more than what you were, that can be an actual contender.
The length of the rebuild will depend on I'm at that point now too, where I think the length of the build will be determined on whether Seth is here or not, but regardless, it's
sure.
a rebuild. This is not
absolutely.
Hey, you're back in the
and
postseason next year.
You know, just real talk, you know, would if you're Seth and you're in the middle of your prime, are you going to want to be part of that if this is 3 to 5 years?
Being on this side of it, I would say no. Being on this side of my career and realizing how fast it goes. But when you're right in the middle of it, there's a lot to it knowing that your face is the one on the side. Not that he wouldn't be anywhere else. But your face is the one on Nationwide. You're the, you know, premier player. There is almost like an added challenge to, like, hey, be the one to help us rebuild this thing.
Sure.
You know? So there is something, and that's what they're going to sell him. Being on this side of it, I mean,
well, that's Garnett. Remember Garnett saying, "Why did I wait so long?"
Yeah.
Garnett's at why they wait so long. Don't be loyal.
But you
don't
believe in so yourself. Long. That's why.
You do.
You believe in yourself.
You believe in the town. You fall in love with the town.
Of course.
Yeah.
There's relationships evolved. I mean, all these emotions you'll have about, it's all there.
Yeah.
You know, there's plenty of people that you know. You don't want to let people down. You don't want to disappoint people. Yeah.
Yeah. No, you don't. They're back at it tonight. Jody will join us at 11:30. And we'll, this is what it is. It is what it is at this point. Coming up next, some movement in terms of the betting now around the pick at number 3 overall.
Oh.
And there is some serious momentum for number 1 in Scarlet and Gray. We get to that coming up next. Jeff Ehrman will join us at about 9:45, about 15 minutes from now, as he gives us a view of what Maryland can expect and what we can expect from Maryland coming out of spring football. You're listening to Bishop and Laurinaitis right here on The Fan.
News, opinions, and insight all before breakfast. Rise and shine with Morning Juice.
Weekdays starting at 6.
The Fan, Ohio's sports destination. It's Bishop and Laurinaitis's What's Up?
What's up, man?
What's up,
sponsored by your Central Ohio Honda dealers.
Here's what's up on a Tuesday, just 10 days before the draft. Momentum building for Justin Fields at number 3. And you do... Well, no kidding would be your answer.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, no,
yeah.
Not
what
kidding.
Took so long?
What took so long? I saw Sage Rosenfels yesterday. I want to say on, I can't remember the podcast I saw it on, but I saw him, a clip of him going around going, look, like, I've worked this guy out. They drive the ball down the field at Ohio State. As soon as the 49ers move to 3, that's the pick. Like, he's not throwing bubble screens. At Ohio State, that's not what they do. Like, that's not what Kyle's going to want him to do. Kyle's going to want him to take shots off of play action and run off of that wide zone and roll out and take off and run if he can. I mean, it always made sense to me that it was Fields. I always thought the Mac Jones stuff didn't make a whole lot of sense. I didn't think you'd give up that much to go get a player like Mac Jones. And that's not to say that Mac Jones won't be good. I just think that when you want some... If you're going to give up that much, you want somebody with elite traits, and Mac Jones doesn't have those.
Right.
This is all coming back. And I just think... It's a bit of a shame that Justin's had to go through it, because I think a lot of it was just nonsense that was made up to fill time on various shows, radio, TV, social media.
Yeah.
I don't know that any of it was legitimate. And people recklessly threw things out about him that frankly didn't add up.
What's going to be interesting is that you have Schefter was so strong that it's going to be Mac Jones.
Yeah.
And I think that's what really...
Peter Schrager still had him at that. He did a mock draft today that still had him going Mac Jones at 3.
And it's just fascinating to see when you have guys like Shefty doing it. You know, Shefty doesn't... Anyway, you sort of say, oh, well, if he's that confident, Adam's not really wrong a whole ton.
Mort, too. Mort was involved in this.
Yeah.
I mean, those guys usually don't play this game. Usually they're pretty straight with their stuff, but their stuff is coming from teams. It's coming from teams. So whether it was smoke screened from a team to Schefter, if Schefter's saying that, he's getting it either from somebody with the 49ers.
Right.
Or somebody who heard it directly from the 49ers. That's the only way he's going with that.
Yeah.
Mort saying what he's saying is coming directly from an NFL coach or GM or ownership.
Right.
It's not coming from, some scout who's toiling around. Those guys don't do that.
And then you have to say, okay, so is the deal in San Fran, are they going around telling everybody in the building that it's going to be Mac Jones and Shanahan is doing that on purpose?
That's always been my theory. I always felt it was smokescreen. I thought it was done to not alert Robert Saleh how much they love Fields.
Yeah.
That's been my hunch the whole time.
So I think that's what's going on. But I'm not going to be like I'm fascinated for draft night because I really have no clue. I could tell I've said over and over on this show that I think it's an obvious pick there for them to take Justin Fields. He just fits the whole idea of rolling out and saying, "Hey, if it's not there, take off, use your legs, get what you can, get us back in a short yardage situation." That's him. That's him.
Kyle wants somebody accurate. There's nobody more accurate than Justin in college football the last 2 years. He wants somebody who can throw the ball, drive it down the field.
People don't want to see the stats.
No, they don't. No, they want to. There's just been this just nonsensical narrative.
Yeah,
that
they want all the stuff you can't prove. Right, leadership.
Right.
work ethic. What are you talking about? All the measurables right. point to him being elite, and yet yes. you're going to stuff that you can't put on a piece of paper. Come on, man.
Yeah. Now, I'll acknowledge that I don't have any idea. I think this is the hardest thing in the world to try to calculate, a guy making the jump
yeah.
and being a successful pro, because there's about a million factors that go into it.
Yeah.
But if you look at, if I'm the 49ers and I'm betting on it, and it might be a fireable miss if they miss.
Yep.
If Shanahan misses, it might be, because they paid a lot of money to Jimmy Garoppolo. They gave yep. up a lot to get this pick. If they don't get it right, it could be fireable. It could be.
Ownership will fire him if they don't get it right, because you're telling yeah. your owner, you're going to pay all these millions to a guy that I plan to either release or I'm going to keep as a backup to ride the
That's
bench.
Right.
And yep. I was, trust me, I was wrong before. I won't be wrong again. Okay. It's your last yep. chance, because I'm not going to spend
last chance.
Double quarterback money to waste. I'm not going to keep throwing millions of dollars away.
No. 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 So
that's the human element.
That's where it's at. That's the stake.
Yeah.
So if I'm them, it's Fields, and it's not even close. It's not close. I would have him number two to Lawrence in this whole
yep.
draft.
Yep.
That's it.
So I still think he's better than Zach Wilson, but we've gotten to a point
yes.
where that's not even debatable now.
Right. And I do wonder if that's part of what Kyle's plan was, to make sure that Saleh doesn't come off of Zach Wilson.
Right.
Like, no, bud, we're not sure who we're going to take. Could be Mac. Yeah. We really like Mac Jones. He can really process.
Yeah.
Like, don't be looking into Fields. You stay with right. your guy.
Yeah. Zach's great. Gosh, Zach Wilson's amazing.
Wish we could have him. Wish we could have him. That, but elite traits. Yeah. yeah. I mean, that's always been my theory, pal. It always has been. An interesting spot for the Maryland football team as we take our tour around the Big Ten East and we land with the Terrapins. Mike Locksley's program certainly has recruited at a high level. Can that continue to build this year? Jeff Ehrman covers Maryland, and he will join us coming up next on that front. Bishop and Laurinaitis right here on The Fan.
Buckeyes, Jackets, Crew, and Panama Ted yelling about something being too hot. I don't understand it either. The Fan, Ohio sports destination. Two guys who love to see it. This is Bishop and Laurinaitis.
Well, Bishop James Laurinaitis with you on a Tuesday edition of the program. We continue our tour around the Big Ten East Spring Football Edition. Jeff Ehrman joining us on the Bryan Heating Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline. He's a publisher of Inside Maryland Sports. Jeff, year three for Mike Locksley. Well, what? 1.5 in the books, just 5 games played last year, obviously, for the Terps, but some momentum at quarterback, certainly, and some momentum in recruiting. The state of the program right now is what, sir?
I think growth would probably be the best word. You know, they're looking for this to be kind of a breakout year in terms of the results. Still, obviously, there's a lot of challenges with Maryland in rebuilding this program, but he has stocked up the talent the past few years, and I think, you know, basically people want to see this be the year that you kind of get to that, you know, the bowl game phase, or 5 or 6 or 7 win kind of phase in the process. So I think that's where they are, like, right now.
Yeah, Jeff, when I think of Maryland and when I've covered them, they can either be extremely exciting, and you can see the talent, right? You can see the talent at wideout. I thought their defense last year, the way they just kind of lined up and wanted to play man coverage and say, please try to beat us. All those things are exciting. And then whenever you talk to Coach Locksley, he said, you know, every time I wake up on a Saturday, it's like Christmas morning. You never really know what you're going to get out of this team. How does he change that? How does he get more consistency out of his guys so that he does know what he's going to get out of his squad? Because it seems like the talent is there, and they'll win a game they shouldn't, and then they'll lose one they shouldn't. How does he get that more consistent?
Yeah, James, as you know from your playing days, it really just comes with time and experience. They're starting to get that at some key spots, you know, whereas they were playing a lot of young guys earlier. You know, they still don't have veterans everywhere, obviously, but, you know, and the other thing is so much of it comes, as you know, with quarterback play. So, you know, which Talia Tungvaloa do you get this year? Is it going to be the guy who was brilliant every other game, or the guy who struggled in half a game? So that's a big part of it too, but, you know, I think that they have built some experience across both lines and on the defense. The defense is better than it's typically been, or at least more talented than it's typically been during Maryland's Big Ten era. So I think there's a lot of reason for hope, but yeah, you still don't have a lot of proven commodities.
Yeah, you know, you look around this Big Ten East, and Michigan's pretty wayward. Penn State's coming off of a really, really rough year. Certainly, Greg Schiano has some momentum at Rutgers. I think we can all acknowledge that. Michigan State's got a long way to go. There is a moment to strike now, and anytime James and I talk about this, we always come back, all right, well, who's the quarterback? And Maryland's got a guy who flashed in Talia, I watched his first start, and I thought, he's lost. And then next time out, he looks like his brother. So I don't know what to make of it, but you do see the talent there. And it does seem that if there is a time to strike, the iron's pretty hot right now for the Terrapins, and because of that quarterback.
Yeah, and that's where the Dan Enos hire is interesting. You know, he's known as a quarterback's guru. Also, I think Loxley feels like he's more of an extension of himself when it comes to play calling and putting the quarterback in a spot to succeed. I don't think he felt like that happened all the time last year. So that's a big thing, too. And, you know, last year was also just his first year. Basically, he was a freshman, you know, starting. We know how hard that is for true freshmen, which he effectively was after just playing a handful of snaps at Alabama. So I think you can expect growth from him this year. The question is, does he grow into like a capable guy, or is he like a legit star that you saw in some of those games that you mentioned?
Jeff, when I look and I kind of scan over this roster, I remember so I was supposed to have them against Ohio State before that thing gets canceled, and I can't think of a team that was. Mm-hmm. I mean, they were up and down and around with the COVID stuff a year ago, and when you watched them. The secondary, and I remember talking to Coach Day saying they got some dudes in that secondary that can cover. I tend to think that's a strength. You know the team better than I do, but I think when I think of the strengths of Maryland, I think secondary, and I think out at wide receiver. What are those the strengths for one? And then two, what are the areas that you say, okay, these position groups need to catch up to those two that I previously mentioned?
Yeah, you nailed it. Those are their two best spots. You know, at receiver they have, I think they have so many guys that maybe you see a few guys transfer after spring ball because they're just, you know, I think this is the most loaded wide receiver core they've had in years. Dante Demas is the top guy, 6'3", athletic, runs really well. I think he'll be drafted. It obviously depends on how he plays this year. How high? Raheem Jarrett was a 5-star recruit a year ago, and then just three or four veteran guys and three or four young, really talented guys also there. And then in the secondary, Nick Cross is the biggest name. He was also a big-time recruit that they won. Loxley won late in the game, so he's back for his third year. You know, he was a little bit up and down last year, but clearly has, you know, as much talent as anybody on their team. And then I think at corner, you know, they're largely young guys. They have a guy named Tarheeb Still, who is a true freshman, might have been their best corner last year. Ja'Corian Bennett and Deontay Banks. So they have three starting caliber corners. So you could clearly argue, if you followed the program for a while, that this is their best wide receiver and cornerback crews that they've had in quite a few years.
Jeff, I'll get you out of here on this one. What defines success? How do you define it in 2021 for Maryland?
I would say considerable forward movement. You know, they went 2-3 last year. Who knows what they would have done if there had been a full season. If you kind of just double that up by playing a full schedule, say you would have had 4 wins. So this year, you know, you want to get to 6. I think if he got to 6 wins, I think people would be thrilled with that when you consider the schedule. But the biggest thing is just generally keep moving in forward in terms of, you know, winning games and being more competitive against some of those teams that have blown you out. And then I think next year is the year where you really would kind of heighten those expectations.
Jeff, excellent stuff as always. Appreciate your time today.
Thank you very much.
All right, that's Jeff Ehrman, publisher of Inside Maryland Sports and the Bryan Heating Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline. They do have that quarterback, and he did flash.
Sense the theme, though? The theme in the East is Ohio State. It's usually been Penn State, but Michigan has dropped off. So who's going to – do you trust it's Indiana? Do you think it's Maryland? I'll put it this way. When I look at Maryland's wideouts – And he's absolutely right. Dante Demas is an NFL guy. Raheem Jarrett is a dude. Daryl Jones is good. Jayshon Jones is good. Tyon Fleet Davis was like a mixture. He's going to be the number one back for the first time this year. You know, there is skill. They've always had skill, you know, one or two guys, but this is a deep wide receiver room, not nearly as deep as ours, but you get the point. It's probably the second deepest in the Big Ten. And when you look at that in the secondary and you say, All right, who's going to claim the third spot? Is it going to be Indiana? Is it going to be Penn State? Going to be two or three? Like, who out of the new kind of group here? Because it seems like Michigan State is down. Michigan's down. There's no momentum at either of those programs. Is it Rutgers? Is it Maryland? Is it Indiana? Who's going to be the new one to kind of be up there fighting, you know, for the 2-3 line?
Yeah, and it's twofold. It's who's going to do it for this year, and you know, Indiana seems most likely for this year based with Penix coming back. But then it's who's going to do it from the next 2 to 5 years. And to me, that's a battle between Maryland and Rutgers right now.
Yep.
That those two teams have momentum. And if Maryland can, he can recruit it. He's got to get some results. And if Talia can be special, now you're talking.
Yep.
Now you're talking. Now you can get another quarterback after him, and now you can start to stack things. So that'll be the key to that. College football in this country, we are used to the haves and have-nots. It's really the only sport in our country that is. Most everything else is engineered to keep everybody in our most successful league. The NFL is keep everybody at 8-8. That is not the same in European soccer, but what has happened in European soccer over the last weekend is a pretty big step, and it's one that is really similar to what we're seeing in college football without it being a direct comparison. We'll get to that coming up next. Bishop and Laurinaitis right here on The Fan.
Meet or on the rocks, just act accordingly.
Starts with a glass of bourbon, then goes to, oh, First Blood's on. I think I'll watch this again.
You're listening to Bishop and Laurinaitis.
So the sporting world was turned on its head over the weekend. The world's most popular sport, of course, is the game of soccer, as we call it, football to the rest of the world. And this news started to come out on Saturday that some of the most powerful and biggest clubs in European football, and honestly, you could, if you added, but really the only ones that aren't on this in terms of their power is, I mean, Bayern Munich is the most notable. PSG would be the other one that has a lot of money and has a ton of power. The only ones who are not involved in this, but there are 12 powerful teams, and they're as big a clubs as you get. You're talking about Real Madrid, Barcelona, Atletico Madrid, Inter Milan, AC Milan, Juve, Man United, Liverpool, Arsenal, Chelsea, Tottenham. This is Man City as well. This is the cream of the crop in European soccer, and that they were forming their own Super League. So the idea being, and I'm not going to go too far into this just because if you know, you know, and if you don't, you probably don't care. But just to give you some outlines of this, European football fans are okay with there being a class system in football, in soccer.
Yes. Yes.
It's the way it's been. The teams that I've mentioned, a lot of these have won almost everything. Real Madrid and Barcelona if La Liga's been, however long La Liga's been around, my guess is Real Madrid and Barcelona have 90% of the championships. That's my guess.
Yeah.
My guess is Inter Milan, AC Milan, and Juve have about 80% of the championships in Italy. You're talking about Man United, Liverpool. I mean, they've got all the championships in England. So these are the biggest clubs in these individual countries.
Yeah.
And the fans over there are fine with it. Like they understand it. But there also is a couple of things that are different. These are not franchises, they're clubs. So in most instances, these were started in towns by the working class as clubs. Mm. Okay? So this is not, you're not awarded a franchise. These are clubs. A lot of them have boards. They're really in a way owned by the fans of the cities, and the people who quote own them are stewards of that. So that's
Packers?
An important thing. Yeah, sort of.
I'm trying to find an American equivalent, which
they're
really exist,
well. The most American equivalent is really college football, and we'll get to that in a second. So the other thing that is accepted though is that while it is accepted that there are the haves and have-nots, the have-nots can on occasion rise up and shock the world. So we've seen this with Leicester City winning the Premier League a couple of years ago, where that can happen. Right now in Champions League, for example, in England, West Ham would qualify. And so those type of things, it's also established that on any given day, the little guy can beat the big guy. And in a magical season, you can go qualify for Europe and win the Champions League. So that gets us to the Champions League. So the champions of Europe, and in England it's the top four finishers, top three or four in Spain, so forth and so on. They then play in the Champions League. And this is, European Championships have been going on for a very, very long time. UEFA has been a governing body for 70 years. These 12 teams that I mentioned are proposing a separate league, calling a European Super League, that would play on Wednesdays, where each one of these 12 teams would be guaranteed $400 million in the television rights, and the merit of their play would not matter. They would be in no matter what. Mm. So, this has created a ton of pushback.
Oh, yeah.
A ton.
You think?
Yeah.
Which, by the way, seeing awesome. Arsenal in there and thinking of Stan Kroenke behind that, I'm like, oh, for sure.
Well,
Mr.
Let's do
LA?
This then. You brought me to it. Manchester United is owned by the Glazer family, who owns the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Liverpool is the Fenway Group. So that's John Henry, another American. Arsenal's Kroenke. Chelsea is Roman Abramovich, who's a Russian oligarch. I'm not sure on Tottenham's ownership, but Man City
at least the
is,
Russians do things by the book.
Right. Man City's owned by a... I want to say a sheikh in the Middle East. I'm not sure which one it is. But Man City's owned by that. And so that's where a lot of this is coming at, is these owners and greed. And you've no doubt seen this stuff going around, you know, former players, Gary Neville, various others. We've seen Jurgen Klopp, who's the manager at Liverpool, say this cannot happen. We saw Pep Guardiola today, the manager of Man City, saying this isn't sport. If it doesn't matter your form, and you still get to be in the competition, this isn't sport.
Right.
So then the question is, well, what can you do about it? Mm. What this would be like in our country is, well, first of all, before I get to that, buddy, you think about how the NFL was set up? The idea that the NFL, yeah, was set up.
For us, brilliantly.
Yes. And so you, as a fan, if you're a fan of the Cleveland Browns or the Cincinnati Bengals, if you draft well, and you run your organization right, you can be just as successful as the Dallas Cowboys. And mm-hmm. if you're looking for examples, look at Pittsburgh and look at Green Bay.
Yeah, that's right.
Those are two iconic franchises.
That's
and
right.
And they are just as powerful as any team in Los Angeles or any team in New York. Everybody has equal footing.
You know what I've thought of recently? Is how many times has Jerry Jones in his mind tried to spur a conversation with somebody else, like another owner, and kind of recommended, like, why are we still doing it this way?
Mm-hmm.
How many times do you think those conversations have happened and never come to light, where they just kind of daydream off and say, you know, I know it's better for the league, but ultimately, Stan. Because he and Stan are buddies. Stan.
Oh, yeah.
This whole TV sharing. Why is it fair that L.A. and, you know, I'm America's team, so.
Right, and he does have a separate merchandising deal.
He does. The only one.
From everybody else. He's the only one in the league that has a separate merchandising deal. Everybody else splits it.
Yep. Remember when he had, Coke when the league had Pepsi or something?
Yeah. Yep, that's right. Yep. Yeah, that's exactly right. And I think, remember he had Nike in the stadium?
Yep.
In Texas Stadium when Nike was involved in the NFL?
We were Reebok and he had Nike stuff all everywhere. He's done it with Verizon, the official partner of, and then his, you know, stadium is named AT&T.
AT&T, yeah. So he's been able to do that. No one else has been able to do it, which is pretty remarkable in and of itself. You're exactly right that I'm sure he's thought about that. I don't know that it doesn't eventually go to that. It may. But so far, I think it hasn't, because there's always been powerful ownership like the Rooneys in Pittsburgh and places like that. There's always been owners in those places who are every bit as powerful as he is.
Mm-hmm.
And so every team, you're a fan of any team. If you're smart, you can win a Super Bowl.
Yep.
All right? Level playing field.
Yep.
Some of our other sports are different. Baseball's different.
Yep.
But again, because it is so hard for players to move and to be acquired, even teams like Tampa Bay who do it right, the Indians who do it right, if you're smart, you can contend. Yeah, the Yankees, the Dodgers, the Red Sox, but they miss on guys and they overpay guys.
Yep.
In European soccer, any problem you have, you can get out of a problem in a year. You sign a guy to a long contract that isn't up to that contract in Major League Baseball, you're stuck with them.
Yep.
You're stuck with them. That's not the case over there. They just buy out of everything. So the most apples to apples to this, I think, is college football. I think it's college football.
I was struggling, by the way, to pick 20 teams.
Yeah, well, we're going to have a talk about that, about who, what makes that up. And you and I have talked about super conferences. I mean, we're just two guys doing a radio show, but Gordon Gee talked about super conferences a decade ago.
Yeah.
That we're headed there. The thing that I always thought was fascinating about that from the college football perspective is when we talk about super conferences and like the Big Ten would weigh in, and I'm thinking to myself, well, Indiana, what makes you think you'd be a part of it?
Oh, that's what I'm looking at right now, trying to make 20 teams.
What makes you think you're going to be a part of it?
I'm trying to weigh, like, who wants to, like, what are the stipulations? Is it strictly money? Is it competitiveness? Like, when you start thinking about picking 20 teams amongst college, you know, football.
Right.
And you get to the conference, you know, I kind of went around and I'm like, I was doing kind of more of the obvious. I know we're doing a lot of this next segment, but you start picking the obvious, the big brands. And once you get to like the top teams in each conference, right? So like Ohio State, Oklahoma, and there's some that are obvious. Like so, if you go to the Big 12, you go
10 no brainers, yeah.
Yes, and then once you get outside of there, you go, oh well, this one has a really passionate fan base and would bring a lot of money, but they suck. And then you're like,
well,
this one would bring this one. I mean, at least has location and was good. Could they be good again? Like, there's so many squads. You're like, who do you include? So in this Indiana, point, you're not included.
To your point, the conversation you're having, that you just had, the comments you just had, were had by the Super League, and they went with brand and city location as much as the outside of the obvious ones. Obviously, Real Madrid, Barcelona, Man United, Liverpool, fine. But it's not like Liverpool until Klopp got there was some model of success. They weren't. Arsenal's terrible right now. Absolutely terrible. Club in shambles. Tottenham hasn't won anything.
Yeah.
Right? Inter and Milan, AC Milan have not been great in a long time. Like, they're not, these are brands in some instances that make this up. They're brands. Man United hasn't been in top form in a long time. They're second in the Premiership right now. Premier League, second. So, some of these are just, it's 100 years of history that they're selling. You and I talk about it in college football all the time. You're peddling a museum at Tennessee, at Nebraska, at Michigan. You're selling a museum. That's what's been done here. Now, what this would do in college football, if you did this, and you and I will have some fun with it coming up next, if you do this in college football, those museum programs, you're talking about that type of money. It wouldn't be that in college football. It might be a million, $100 million a year or something like that for the teams if you did it in college football, not 400. But if you did it, do you think that makes a difference at Nebraska? Let's say. Does it make a difference at Tennessee? If all of a sudden they have an extra $100 million to play with? And then if you are the Big Ten and Ohio State says, well, we want to be a part of this because look at all the money in this. If you're the Big Ten, you say, well, then you're out. You can't play lacrosse. You can't play baseball in our league. Get the hell out of here.
Right. Man, there's so many fascinating layers to this.
Well, and these are the conversations that are being taken place over there.
Yep.
Like the Premier League saying, you know what, Man United, get out. Get out. You can't play here. Like, that's what's going on over there. And in college football is the most apples to apples in our country. There's really nothing else that has this type of feel to it.
And they're trying to make the players.
It's so big.
This is what's going to get even trickier is with the governing body is trying to force the players to basically choose money versus what people deem as like a highest honor representing your country,
the World Cup.
And so the first player, wait to hear the blowback from the first player. It's kind of, you know, your analogy to college football is fitting. You know, it's a player sitting out a bowl game, or wait till I'm waiting for the first college football player to have a Jadeveon Clowney type season and then have the stones to sit out. I'm not for it, but once that person comes along, like, that's essentially what Micah Parsons did. You just call it COVID, right? But who's Jamar the next Chase. Guy that says, you know what? Micah Parsons went top 10 and didn't play his senior year or junior year.
This will be a great example.
That was a disease. Like, so look at all these first-round picks that didn't play. So why do I play junior year? Jamar Chase, all these
kids. Why am I risking it?
Why am I risking it? Wait till you see the blowback from their fan bases. And then this is the same thing that's going to happen in European soccer. You know what? No, I want to play in the Super League. Well, then you don't get to play for us. Fine. But I'm going to make tens of millions more money. I don't care about the World Cup. I care about making a living. and wait till you see the blowback. Ah, oh, you're, and that's what they're doing. They're going to pin the pride versus you playing for country versus money. It's fascinating. What an yeah. experiment.
Yeah, and rest assured, we're not too popular over there because a lot of American owners at the front.
Oh
of this,
gosh,
at the forefront of this, and so it's not going great. If we had to do this in college football, who would make up our 20? We'll have a little fun with that coming up next Tuesdays with DeBerry in about 15 minutes or so. Bishop and Laurinaitis right here on the Fan.
Buckeyes, Blue Jackets, the NFL, and fat weird guys talking about eating people.
I'm hungry. Is it time to eat?
It's all on the Fan, Ohio's sports destination. Their favorite sport is berating their producer.
You just sat there for 10 minutes.
This is Bishop and Laurinaitis.
And brought to you by our great friends at Window Nation. If you're in need of search and replacement windows, check them out at windownation.com. They'll take care of you the way that they take care of us. 866-90-NATION today. All right, so we're going to do this in college football, which, by the way, I would not be a fan of. No. I mean, I'm fine with super leagues, but I would have no interest. I think this would be no good. I would not want this. But if you were, for the sake of doing the show in the middle of April, here in the middle of football country, I just went by the conferences and I said, all right, who do I want in this? And then I thought brands. And then I thought, well, the first thing I thought of, there's several that are just like no brainers. Like we call them Cadillac programs. Like all the Cadillac programs are in. So let's save the Big Ten ins for last. Let's go around the Power Five. Well, first of all, did you consider anybody not in the Power Five?
No.
Yeah, I didn't either.
No.
Not with 20.
No.
If you want to talk super conferences, then you can get into Cincinnati or SMU or Houston, Boise State. You want to get into super conferences, then you can have that conversation. But based on a 20, no, it's not there. All right. Let's start in the – let's do no-brainers in each conference, and let's just start out west in the Pac-12. Who are your no-brainer Pac-12s?
I only had two. I only had USC and Oregon.
Same. Those are my no-brainers as well.
I didn't think anybody else really deserved.
Okay, I did have one more in the 20, but as a no-brainer,
I'm not there yet. I'm at like 18 teams, and I can't figure out. I'm not even confident in my 18 teams, so I told you how hard this is.
Big 12, I've got two no-brainers.
Yeah, Texas, Oklahoma.
Yep. ACC no-brainers.
So I did Clemson, and I consider Notre Dame for no-brainers. Notre Dame's a no-brainer, but I'm saying I consider them ACC is what I meant to say by that.
It's so interesting. I actually put them in the Big Ten just because I was thinking geographically.
They're in the ACC title game, bro.
I know. I had three ACC no-brainers, not including Notre Dame, and I had FSU and Miami in there as well.
I have FSU and Miami in there. They were not my no-brainers.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, both are in they're in tough spots right now, but
they're in Florida.
It just doesn't make sense that they're not good.
Like they have a huge history in college football.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Okay. SEC no brainers.
So I got Alabama, LSU, Florida, Georgia. I put A&M in too, and Auburn. But I really struggle with Auburn.
I had Auburn in as one of my five no-brainers. My five no-brainers in the SEC were Bama, LSU, Florida, Georgia, Auburn. The thinking with Auburn is they've played for a couple of national titles. They've won a national title, and they are the hated rival of Alabama. So they're almost like I have Michigan in as a no-brainer. They do not deserve it. But it's, you know, it's kind of part of it. And actually, Auburn's a much better football program than Michigan. It's not close.
Yeah.
But I did have Auburn as a no-brainer. Big Ten, no-brainers. I had four, including Notre Dame, as a basically Midwest no-brainer.
So then I'm guessing you went Ohio State, Penn State, Michigan.
Notre Dame, yep, those four.
Yep. So I had that too. And then I'm getting to the spot where, so we've named a lot of the same teams.
Yep, so that's 16.
Okay, so who are you going to round out? I threw A&M in there.
Okay, I had A&M as well.
Resources. State of Texas, history within the Big 12 teams that are there, and by Big 12 teams too. Not that I'm not going to add another. I just don't know. But that's where I'm at. I got A&M. I thought out of the Big 10, I'm really struggling with. I feel like Wisconsin has earned it, but then I really struggle because you're like,
it's Nebraska, Wisconsin.
It is,
unfortunately. Sorry, yeah. Chops for Iowa, but it's Nebraska, Wisconsin.
Yeah.
It's do you take the museum that is Nebraska football and say, hey, this props it up, and we'll this brand will help us, or do you take Wisconsin, which is better on the field? And honestly, there may be room for them both.
There might be room for them both, but I put Wisconsin down first. So now I'm at 18, and I have two teams left, and I'm trying to figure out. When I went through the Big 12, here's who I considered. Okay, when I went through the ACC, I was like, Virginia Tech's had moments. No, I can't put them there. I just can't. When I went through the Big 12, Iowa State's good now, but I'm not gonna have recency bias. Oklahoma State's flirted, but nah. Big Ten, it's like, oh man, do you throw Nebraska in there? It's a lot tougher than you anticipate because there's really no team. Like when I look out to the Pac-12, I'm like, man, I'm not sure we can even consider anybody else. Do you throw if you're going to do that for Nebraska? Do you do that for Tennessee? It's like, oh, it's tough.
So I ended up with Washington in.
Okay.
They've been in the playoff recently. They've got a decent football tradition, and that would give you three on the West Coast that you could kind of lean on. So I had Washington in as the third Pac-12, and then I had North Carolina in the ACC. They don't deserve it from a football standpoint, but in terms of like forecasting potential, it's a program that
I'd
seems
be okay
to...
with North Carolina. I like North Carolina.
It's harder than you think, though. Whatever we want to come to, whoever's on the chopping block, whether it's Nebraska or Washington, or if you want to go UCLA or Utah, or if you want to get back in the Big 12, to your point with Iowa State or Oklahoma State or West Virginia, I guess the lesson here is the no brainers. And some of these, this is brand only.
Yeah,
this is on brand.
Yeah. Michigan's on brand.
Completely on brand.
Yeah.
Completely on brand. Yes, absolutely. There's no question. Texas is.
Yep.
They haven't been great in a long time.
No.
Really haven't. FSU, Miami are brand only.
Yep.
You know?
No,
I mean, it's a pretty tough exercise to get to 20 that deserve it. Because in college football, it's really more about, as we've been saying a lot, it's about five. About five or six programs that are operating on a different level. And it's a pretty big gap between those five or six and 20.
Mm.
It's a pretty big gap right there.
Yeah.
I don't know. I could see college football looking into something like this. I really could, though. I could see that coming. There'd be a lot of money.
I hope it doesn't happen. I'd rather them go to like four super conferences.
Yeah.
And we can, drop certain teams here and there and pick up, like a SMU or a Houston or a Cincinnati and do that thing. That's what we should do. Bottom four, get kicked out of the super leagues, go back to the...
Yeah, relegation.
Yeah, that's what we should do. We should relegate.
Yeah.
Recruit better if you want back in Nebraska.
Yeah.
Win some games, bro. Yeah.
Like retain your own players, Nebraska. That would help. Develop your quarterbacks, Nebraska, Michigan. That would help. It always helps when we go Tuesdays with DeBerry. We do it coming up next. Bishop and Laurinaitis right here on The Fan.
One is upside down on an inversion table. The other one's wearing a tank top without pants.
Ready for your workout?
Radio doesn't get any better than this.
You nasty.
Rothman and Ice.
Weekdays from noon to 3.
The Fan. First Fridays are a thing. Drinking bad bourbon is not a thing. This is Bishop and Laurinaitis.
Indeed it is. Time for a little Tuesdays with DeBerry. We head out on the Bryan Heating and Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline for a visit with our good buddy Dom DeBerry, 10TV legend. Hey, buddy, I want to ask you about Super Conference and all that stuff and among other things. But before we get to that, how great was... I saw you live at the Crew.
Yeah.
I saw you at Ohio Stadium.
Yep.
It's pretty good to get... How was it to get back out, back in the mix? I know you love being out amongst the people.
I loved it. I wish I could have got in. The CONCACAF people would not allow us inside historic Crew Stadium, but I was out in the parking lot, and it was fabulous. And then, being over at the spring game, it was. Although, I posted a picture of myself with Big Daddy Paul Keels and Jim Lachey because we taped a segment for Wall to Wall Sports with those guys. and put it on Twitter, and immediately everyone's like, "You guys have masks on. Why do you have masks on?" And, you know, I mean, the rule was if you were in the stadium, you wore a mask. And then these people, well, why would you go along with that? Well, because I wanted to be at the game. That was it. You know, I mean, but yeah, that's
people
that
are the worst.
Comments like, I know. I mean, you know, Tim May goes, don't answer them.
But you can't. You can't answer them, Dom. I mean, you know this. You're a vet in this thing. You know you can't.
I answer everyone. That's my flaw.
I know
I
you do.
Let it go. I can't let it go.
I know you do. So. This whole idea of the, I guess the Super League. Bo and I were talking about super conferences in college football. We tried to get the 20 teams. How many no-brainers do you think we got to? If we went through all of your college football program and we said, yes, you have to have them in, how many out of 20 do you think Bo and I got to? You should have been listening, quite frankly, so you should know the answer, but it's okay.
It should be easy, 20.
There's not 20 no-brainers. Easy. That's the problem, Dami. There's no way there's 20 no-brain programs to get in there. That's the thing. We got the 16. Only 16 no-brainers.
All right, I didn't listen. Did you have Oregon in it?
We did.
Let me ask you this, though, Dom.
You have USC in it?
Yeah, we did. We had Texas and Oklahoma and Ohio State and everybody you'd think. Here's the question I have for you, though. You've been around this game a long time. You covered this league, you know, certainly when Earl was here in the 80s through Coop in the 90s. And let's just take this from the Big Ten perspective right now. Because there's no time that Ohio State, in our opinion, has ever had a bigger gap between Ohio State and the rest of the Big Ten. It's forever. Second's eighth. It's such an incredible talent gap. It really doesn't matter who's the quarterback at Ohio State to win the Big Ten. Michigan is irrelevant. Is this better than it was in the 90s? I know Coop's record against Michigan is what it is. But when you look at the quality of the programs in this league then, it was much more even.
Well, if you go back to the days of Woody and Bo, remember they called it the Big Two and the Little Eight. And, the back when Woody and Bo were here, and they didn't really have limits on who you could recruit. I mean, they took all the players. I mean, they took everybody. I mean, Ohio State, you know, I mean, while we think this is, you know, a new phenomenon, Ohio State has always found a way to load the cupboards. And I do think a super conference is coming. I think you'll be able to expand it. To me, it is insane. And I know the fans are going to go crazy when I say this, but the Big Ten needs Michigan to be relevant for this conference to be relevant. I mean, what's going on up there is insane. And James, you want to beat them every time you play them, but you don't want to beat a team that's like the worst in the conference. What does that do for a rivalry or anything? I mean, I don't even understand that. And when people say, "I just want to see them lose every time," and whatever, I mean, when you play Michigan, you want them to be at their best when you beat them, don't you?
Yeah, you want to beat them when it's 1-2. I mean, I definitely remember 2005, 2006, 2007 way more than even senior day, you know, because you were like, who's that quarterback? Sheridan? I don't even know. Rich Rod's first year, and they changed the maize color when they went to Adidas. I mean, once you bring a program to Adidas in college football, Dami, I think that's where you lost all your swag. That's where Michigan went wrong when they went Nike to Adidas. I want to follow that up, though, with a very serious question, okay? And the listeners have been peppering Bo and I about this for 2 weeks. Did you ever have the stones to go handle the birds?
No.
They've taken over.
And I'm gonna tell you what. There's now a nest there, and she's sitting on eggs. She's sitting on eggs. No. And I'll tell you what I'll do later today, I'll take a picture, I'll post it on Twitter, I'll copy you guys in it. But what am I? You know, Bo's going out there, yeah, go knock them down, grab the eggs, make breakfast.
No, I'm not touching them. Good God.
Oh yeah, them. Right. Yeah,
get a
no,
dog.
You wanted me to send my grandchildren out there.
Yeah, little Gio, he'd take them out.
Gio, go out and attack the birds. These birds are dive bombing us. You ought to see the
arm him.
You ought to see these vultures that they claim are geese at the station. Oh my God!
You got to arm him, okay? Arm him with water balloons, and they'll stand no chance.
Or okay, yeah, you know what? Do you remember the old Marlon Perkins show? Marlon's sitting on the bench, and he would always send Jim out to go do it.
Yeah,
Marlon's
right.
sitting there drinking bourbon, and he's going,
yep.
"All right, while I sit here and get a little more bourbon in me, we're going to have Jim go out and see if he can brush the hippo's teeth." Go on,
that's
Jim.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I'm the Marlon Perkins. My kids are Jim.
Yeah.
Go get the birds. Here's some water balloons. Yeah. That's how you handle it. Threes has got a couple of Rottweilers. Send them down there.
Yeah, great. No, the bird's there. The bird's taken up. And I'll tell you what, I can't even turn the TV on. The bird gets mad. It literally, we have this outdoor TV thing, and we got the cover over it. And the bird literally on the back of the TV, you know, our buddy Eric Hartzell helped me do some things
Bo. A genius.
And the birds build a nest back there.
No, you can't have that.
And I mean, it is a hell of a nest. I'm telling you, I don't know what they're raising in there.
Let me ask you this: got yourself a griddle?
I'm going to tell you what I have a pizza oven, I have a smoker, I have a regular grill, and now I have a griddle, one of those Blackstones, a big 36 incher.
Yep,
life changing, amazing, life changing.
What are you
I'm
doing?
I'm telling
on
you
that
what,
thing?
James. Let me tell you what, I cooked 4 packs of bacon the other day. I made 38 eggs into scrambled eggs right there. Boom. You can do it.
38 eggs?
Incredible. Yeah, what was for Easter? I made it for Easter. For Easter, I made a little brunch for Easter.
Did you have the whole neighborhood?
No, I just had,
it's a lot of eggs.
Little Dom and Kels and, you know, my mom and dad, you know, just the immediate family. But,
beautiful.
But it's great. These things are great for pancakes. Do you have one yet, James?
I don't, but now, I mean, 38 eggs, my goodness. Your family might be the only one that eats more eggs than we do over here, than the Lord and Ice
family,
you know?
Well, I'm telling you what, this griddle thing, you got to get one. Great if you want to make cheesesteak or you want to make some sausage and throw the sausages on with some peppers and onions. Fabulous. I'm telling you, it's incredible.
I was not a believer.
The only thing is you got the grease to deal with, but other than that, it's pretty cool.
Nice drip tray. Yeah, I can't wait till this thing's all over and I'm going to come over. I'm going to have you do a little cooking just for me. We're going to try all these things. I look forward to that.
I would love that, and I want James here, and I'm going to take a picture of the bird nest, and I'm going to post it on Twitter here in a little bit, and
I'll bring Bootsy.
You guys in it. Yeah.
I'll bring Bootsy, my five-year-old with the water balloons. We'll take care of those birds in about 6 seconds.
Just what I want, water balloons thrown all over on my gazebo.
That's right.
Thank you.
Nothing to see here. Good talking to you as always, my friend.
Bye, guys.
See you, Tommy.
Unreal. I'm all for nature. I am. Yeah. You know me.
Yep.
But when you get to a point now,
you can't
let
the birds be bosses.
Birds taking over the TV. Hold on a second.
Yep.
I don't care if the bird gets upset.
Yep.
Especially the little birds. Now, if it's a turkey vulture, those things scare the crap out of me.
Well, yeah. Those guys aren't the best. Geese are really the worst.
I got a couple turkey vultures over at the 34 right now.
Well, it's their time. They thrive right now.
Yep.
It's their time to thrive.
Yep.
Yep. Yeah. So they're actually good. They're actually really good, you know. They need better agents because they're great. They're nature's garbage men. I mean, they do a good job with that.
They do.
It's just, you know, they just look so damn scary. Is the problem with them? We hit a little thing or not a thing up next. Bishop and Laurinaitis, right here on the Fan.
If you miss a Buckeye game, it's because your radio is in tune to the right place. Always and forever, your home for the Buckeyes. The Fan, Ohio's sports destination. If you say something with confidence, then you can't be wrong.
I don't even know.
This is Bishop and Laurinaitis.
Time for a little thing or not a thing. Chopper's here. Go, Chops.
Bishop and Laurinaitis. Thing or not a thing.
Sponsored by Geico Insurance.
All right, here we go on a Tuesday. The Rams, who do not have a first-round pick, have decided to make their draft war room a beachside house in Malibu. They have named it the Rocket Mortgage Draft House. The thing or not a thing?
Thing. Thing. What'd you say? They got a sponsor?
the fact you got it, you were able to get a sponsor. Look, they saw Cliff Kingsbury last year, and they said, hold on.
Wait a second.
We have a place called Malibu.
Yeah. Hold my phone.
Yeah. I don't think that nobody down in a desert should have a better setup than us. So, I mean, you don't have ocean down there. Mortgage Draft House.
It's a sweet pad, man. It's a sweet pad. The only
there
problem...
has to be an over and under on how many times they show the Rams Draft House in the first round when they don't have a first round pick. That should be a bet.
Well,
how many times do they zero in on the Rams when they don't even have a pick?
Yeah, that's a great one.
Because of that.
Because of that pick. Because of that alone. Yeah, yeah. They really shouldn't at all.
They shouldn't.
They shouldn't at all. Unless the NFL wants to make this the new norm for everybody. Maybe they do. Hmm.
After 2 years with the football team, running back Bryce Love has been cut. He played in zero games with Washington. Thing or not a thing?
Chops, is it a thing that every time, and I'll get to the Bryce Love thing in a second, but I think you just like putting the football, like saying the football team. Is that a thing?
Yeah. That might be true.
I think he likes it quite a lot. You like saying the football team, and that's how this gets in. This is a guy who, is this injuries? Because he was, I mean, he was great at Stanford, and it just, it didn't materialize in the NFL. And I won't be, I'll be honest with you, I've lost track of what the reason for that is.
It's got to be injuries, right?
Yeah.
I forgot. I mean, to be honest, I totally forgot he was in the NFL.
Tore his ACL. Came back for his senior year, tore his ACL, dropped to the fourth round, hasn't been the same.
He was the guy who a lot of people, like, why did he come back? Because he had a really great junior year. I remember this now. Yeah. At Stanford.
Yep.
He was second in the Heisman that year.
Yeah.
Russell Wilson is scheduled to be the commencement speaker at NC State's spring 2021 ceremonies in May. Thing or not a thing?
I think this is a borderline kind of yucky thing from both people.
Yeah.
It's gross from Russell's standpoint that he's trying to go back to NC State after saying a whole pack of Badger. It's gross from NC State's perspective trying to grab onto Russell Wilson because he's their most famous NFL alumnus, even though he didn't graduate. I don't think he graduated. Maybe he did undergrad there. I can't remember.
He did have a bachelor's from there,
So I guess he's their most famous undergrad, even though they told him hit the bricks because we have Mike Lennon. So it's kind of gross. Kind of gross on all sides.
You know, what's interesting is these schools do this all the time. Like when Robert Quinn got kicked out of NC, and then after he has 20 sacks, they put on one of the recruiting pamphlets, like proud alumni or whatever. And he's like, please remove my name. You kicked me out of school. Remember? Oh, yeah. Told him, remove my name. You kicked me out of school. I will not claim North Carolina.
Wow. Good for him.
Former Michigan quarterback Joe Milton plans to sign with Tennessee. He's expected to formally commit later
this month. Perfect. Here come the balls.
Thing or not a thing?
What would be more surprising? Joe Milton transferring again out of Tennessee after this season, or Joe Milton actually having a successful year at Tennessee and being like, what the hell happened in Michigan? What's more likely?
So what you're betting on there with the proposition you just came up with is Michigan the problem or is Milton the problem? I tend to think that the track record proves that Michigan is the problem because he's not the only one. So, the situation in Tennessee is not that stable either.
Yeah.
But I would think it's more likely that he has success there than he's the big problem.
Tom Brady says he again expects to lead informal workouts this offseason.
Yes, of course he does.
Quote, a lot of things come up and change over the course of the offseason, and we've got a lot of hardworking guys, so guys will be anxious to get together and get to work. As soon as I'm ready to throw, that will be really important to me. That's always a big part of my preparation, actually doing what my job is. Thing or not a thing?
What a subtle shot.
What a shot.
Oh, my goodness. Isn't it ironic that all of these guys, including myself, pay our dues to the NFLPA in the event that they would represent us when a case happens, right? Mm-hmm. And the most money that the NFLPA has spent on a case for said player was Tom Brady in Deflategate.
Oh, I didn't know that.
So when they, put up their defense and all that, and you're like, come on, man, these dues should go to guys who, will actually need it.
Yeah.
But Tom is a player, and yet Tom just, this is a nice little subtle jab. Look, guys, our job is to play football. Let's go play football. I'm going to do it, and my guys will come with me. I'm glad he's really motivated and needs to prove himself.
I wonder if he's going to give out workout bonuses.
He could.
Yeah.
He could. Yeah.
Last one for you guys. This is from Matt Brown, who writes the college sports newsletter Extra Points. I don't know if this has been published anywhere else yet, but I've learned via Freedom of Information Act request that the official vote to change the Big Ten football tiebreaker rule was 12-1-1. Indiana, as you'd expect, voted against it. Iowa abstained due to AD Barta's work on the CFP. Thing or not a thing?
Well, of course they would. Of course it would go that way, because the only chance for the Big Ten to have a team in the playoff was for Ohio State to be represented.
Yeah. Thank you, Michigan.
Yeah.
Appreciate it.
Yeah. I mean, that's the only way. That was it. It's a one shot. It'll continue to be that way for
I'm surprised Nebraska didn't abstain just for being bitter.
They can just abstain for – they may just abstain for everything until they're out of the league.
That's what I'm saying. Like, no, forget
it. Just abstain their way out of the league.
Yeah.
Yeah, because there's no love lost, clearly. All right, coming up in the final hour of the program, little Shelly time at the bottom of the hour. Just a crazy place that MMA and boxing is in. We will get to that. Plus, if the Buckeyes need to hit the transfer portal on the defensive side of things, we'll get to all of that in the final hour. Bishop and Laurinaitis right here on The Fan.
One guy is fat.
The other is fatter.
And both are kind of stupid. Pretty much sums up the whole show.
Uh-huh.
Common Man and T-Bone.
Weekdays from 3 to 6.
The Fan. The finest distillation of sports talk in all of Ohio. This is Bishop and Laurinaitis.
Oh, this is pretty cool for the people out there. Who's hungry for lunch? We're getting there, right? It certainly is Taco Tuesday. Bar of Tacos just opened in UA. Wants to give one taco fan a $25 gift card. 821-9710 is a phone number. Enjoy a business lunch or an early happy hour on the patio at Bar of Tacos UA in the corner of Zollinger and Northwest Boulevard. Let's go third caller. In honor of threes, third caller can pick that up today. So it's a good job out of them. And that's a big win for
Hello, who is this? Oh, Mark Finch won. Congratulations. That's who Chops is going to announce later.
You think Carpenter's letting Finch into Arlington?
Well, not if he had his way.
I mean, he's got guards at every entrance.
No. Bobby's going to be up at the Woody. Bobby's still up at the Woody trying to figure out a way to break in and get a workout in.
He just... If Mick won't let him in,
come on, Mick, let me in.
Bob, I told you.
Go through the women's soccer team.
Seriously, test me. I'm fine.
What'd Bob say, last, it was when he was doing all the get-up stuff, still flying in New York right before the shutdowns of everything.
He's like, what, seriously, I would beat COVID?
Okay.
Of course he would.
Yeah. Remember what he said about the flu and stuff?
All you got to do is tell your body you're fine. It's all mental. You just got to push through. Tell you, I'm going to beat anything that comes my way.
Nothing to see here. I was watching the show with the blonde last night called Black Sails, which is on Stars or something. I'd heard about it years ago and thought I'd give it a shot. It's a pirate thing about the Bahamas and the settling and historical drama that aired on Stars in the early 2010s. I told you that story, so I can tell you this story. There's an episode where the sea is angry this day, my friend. I mean, just an awful, awful thing. And it got me thinking, what is the worst excursion you have ever had on a vacation?
Worst excursion.
Worst excursion. So, as you think on yours, it reminded me of spring break.
It wasn't an excursion, but getting stuck on the Buckeye cruise in the fog was not ideal.
Oh, that's right.
That is not ideal. And here's the reason why.
I remember Tommy doing live shots.
Here's the reason why. By the way, have you seen Dom's photos that he posted from the gazebo?
That's of course easy. One of my hardest thing.
You can easily take that and take advantage. Anyway, you can take that.
It's a perfect power wash spray on that.
Sure.
You're done.
Yeah, perfect power wash. Call them out. They'll do the damage for you.
They'll do it.
So we brought London, and London was really young. So that's London's just transitioning to some soft food. That's one of those, she was born in September. That thing was in February. So she's still relatively young. And I remember just getting stuck and Shelly going, if we're here another day, we don't have any more diapers. Like, we're done. I'm like, oh, what are we going to do? Like, wrap shirts? Just wash them in the sink?
We don't have
got down to
diapers.
That. There's no place on a cruise ship, by the
There's
way.
There's no stores.
Diapers.
No.
No.
Uh-uh.
Nope. Nope. So... I was like, well, that's not ideal. So I remember we started grabbing, and then they started running out of, breakfast stuff, because they hadn't gotten the port to reload everything. So,
yeah,
we're kind of stocking up on, bananas and strawberries, trying to cut them down real small and dice them ourselves, you know, with a plastic fork or plastic knife and fork. Just, yeah, that's probably my least favorite. Less than ideal.
We went to Mazatlan on spring break when I was in college, and I don't recall signing up for this, but apparently signed up for a deep sea fishing excursion.
Ooh, that was, yeah.
And you hit some waves. It's spring break. Yeah. So you had, there was a, you know, things were consumed and it was, you know, a lot. And up till late in the evening and into the morning, and at 6 a.m., there is a pounding on the hotel room door.
Oh.
Mr. Bishop, we have to go. And I'm going, I don't even know what's going on. My buddy Dusty Felsk is in there. We don't know what's going on. One thing that is abundantly clear is the third and fourth people who are going to be on this are not in the hotel room with us.
Mm.
They're not there. And this was not this is not James Laurinaitis, NFL star deep sea fishing excursion, my friend. So we get into the back of a golf cart, me and my buddy Dusty Felska, and we ride the golf cart to the ship. This ship, boy, I use it lightly. It was just a debacle. We stumbled onto this thing. All I remember doing is sticking my head out the window of the boat. I didn't ever put a line in the water. Never. Nothing. I just remember sticking my head out the window and doing what happens when the previous things I explained happen. And I remember trying to sleep. Like, all I did was try to sleep on this thing. It was the worst experience ever. And I remember we got back to port, just two of us in what should have been like a 6-person cruise. We get back to port. None of us have any cash to tip anybody because we're 19 years old. We had no idea that you had to.
Right.
Had no idea how the world works, right? And yep. I remember just trying to get a cab and get out there as fast as possible. And then it becoming abundantly clear as they were gutting the fish that they caught for us that we were going to need to compensate, and going, well, we don't have anything to compensate these guys. And they are holding large knives where they've just cut up fish. We probably ought to get out of here in a hurry.
Yeah.
So I remember speeding off, them yelling at us. We get back to the hotel room. One of the guys who's supposed to go on us ended up being buried up to his neck in the sand and robbed. And that's why he wasn't back in the hotel room. Rob lost everything. He said he woke up at 6 in the morning and there were just little kids riding horses on the beach, and his head was all that was exposed in the sand.
What?
Lost everything. Stolen. We were so mad at him, and then he's like, dude, you don't even know the half of it about how my day was. This is how I woke up. So that was a bad excursion.
My goodness. That is amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. Lucky to get out of it alive.
Head out of the sand. Everything
gone. That's
it.
Everything robbed.
Boy, that's a
crazy.
That's a tough morning. That's tough to wake up to.
God bless him. God bless him. Runs a prominent farm out in the Montanas now. Does just fine for himself. But that was a dicey. that was a dicey proposition. All right, we talked a little bit about the defensive side of the ball for Ohio State yesterday, and we talked about some concerns that, you know, we'll find out next year what those are. And I was curious from your perspective, is the talent there that is currently on the team good enough? Because that's something we haven't had to answer. And the reason I ask it is twofold. Number one, you look at this year's draft, and any two-round mock, the only person I see draft is Justin Fields.
Yeah.
Like, when's the last time an Ohio State defensive player wasn't drafted in the first two rounds? Been a long time.
It's been a while.
I think it's been a long time.
It's been a while.
So it's probably just going to be Justin this year. So is the talent drop-off real? And does Ryan Day, does Mark Pantone, do they need to be in the transfer portal? Where there are all these rumors about Henry Tuitoto, who's the linebacker out of Tennessee, that he potentially could be in the mix. Mm-hmm. Do they have to get a corner? What do you think of the overall talent level?
Is that the line that Al Washington spits to Henry? Look, man, I wanted to coach you so bad. I was about to be DC there just for you. Instead, why don't you come to me? I think that's the line. I think that's the line he's got to
probably
say. Yeah. We need you. Look, you saw the depth. When you have your long snapper playing linebacker late in the spring game, and you looked earlier and you're like, hold on, these guys like Tommy Eichenberg and Cody Simon, those dudes weren't rotating out. They played the whole thing because they only had four linebackers healthy, it looked like. So And then you have guys going over to the bullet area and all that. So we don't have a lot of depth, just from a depth perspective. We need as many bodies as possible in there. I would absolutely jump in the portal for LB. I'd jump in the portal to try to get a corner if there was any there. Now, you don't want to bring in it. Here's the hard thing. We've recruited to a level that is so high. Like, we got five-star guys. Who was it? Tyreek Johnson, you know, at corner. Like, five-star dudes that you're kind of waiting. Like, all right, come on. Come on. Let's see some production. Yeah. And
let's go.
So you see that versus some guy. Well, yeah, he was a four-star, but, you know, back in the recruiting rankings, we got the eighth corner, and that guy was 43rd corner. In the case. Is it really going to help us? I don't know. I mean, it's you start weighing those things. But at LB, we just need depth. And then at corner, when you have two guys, two starters coming off injuries, yeah, you think you'd want a little bit more. But if there's ever guys in there that are very talented, and you've seen it, veteran players, I think you have to go after those players. Bring them in. If you have a scholarship for them, and if you have room for them.
If you have a scholarship for them. And that's another thing that hasn't all the way sorted itself out in terms of the numbers.
Oh, nobody knows the numbers.
The numbers have to
work. That's what we were talking about on the
broadcast. Nobody knows the numbers.
Nobody knows the numbers. When are those things going to settle in?
Nobody.
You know?
Right. How many guys can you have this year again?
So you know?
Yeah.
It's kind of like the coach. It's kind of like hiring analysts like Alabama does. Like, how many are you allowed to have? As many as you want. Okay. So if you keep going back to the athletic director and the president and saying, hey, can we raise another $50,000 for this guy just to be an analyst? Like, he's already getting paid by this other school, so he doesn't need a lot, but we got to at least pay him to put him on staff here. Oh, sure. The money's there. Yeah. Okay. Great. Yeah. You're here. You're good. You know? Or do you want to put that money? Hey, we got to – can we – there's no limit right now from the NCAA, so let's throw another – six figures to get this kid here, put him on scholarship in air quotes, right? I mean, it all comes down to can you afford it? And the haves can. Ohio State, you would think, yeah, we can afford to call some donors, some boosters. Hey, we want to get this kid, but it's going to add another scholarship number to us. And technically, we're over, but the NCAA has allowed it this year, and we'll figure it all out by basically cutting players or encouraging them to transfer is the nice way to put it in college. And that really all started with Urban when he got here. It's been going around for the SEC for a long time and other programs.
Long time.
But it's become more normal here because Tress didn't do it. Tress would tell you straight up, like,
no.
If you try and you do well in school and you are putting your best effort forward, you could stink and I will honor it for 4 years, right? You'll get your degree.
Yeah.
But
Mark Richt fought that fight at Georgia. He was one of the few guys that was doing it in the SEC years ago. Like saying, no, you come here, you give me your word, I give you mine, you have the scholarship.
Yes.
It's not going anywhere.
Yes. And so. Yeah. And I'm not saying there's a right way or a wrong way to do it, but there's numerous stories of guys that were on the roster that, you know, will tell you that what Urban said to him day one. And it's like, well, I don't know if I'll have a scholarship. I guess I'll have to try to prove myself over the summer. There was the whole first summer of Urban was prove it. Prove that you deserve the scholarship. Yeah. And look, that's what elevates the room. It adds a little flame to it. You know, if you hold on a second, you mean to tell me I might not have a full ride next fall? It's exactly what I'm telling you. Oh, okay. Well, I guess if I was going 92%, I better go 100. But it's...
Well, we talk about, look, everything you're explaining, we talk about it from a performance standpoint, the NFLization of the Ohio State program, and that's just another part of it. It's another layer of it.
Exactly.
Prove it, prove it, prove it, prove it. Mm-hmm. That's... If you look at the NFL, the non-guaranteed contract is the equivalent of the scholarship.
Yeah,
I can pull it at any time. Mm-hmm. Look at Sheldon Richardson with the Browns last week.
Absolutely.
Sheldon Richardson played 2 years. When the guaranteed money was up, he was due $12 million this year. The Browns can't pay because of everybody else they have to pay, and because they got to bring in all these draft picks, because they brought in Jadeveon Clowney. They can't pay a defensive tackle who gets 7 sacks. They can't pay him $12 million. Doesn't work. So they say, hey, do you want to renegotiate? Sheldon goes, no, I mean, I'd like to test the market. I'd like to see how much I can get from this. Well, okay, we'll go test it. If you don't want it, come back. And because I think that there's a mutual interest to both, you know, come back together if he can't find something more out there.
Goodbye for now.
But you're always welcome back. We love you. And we'll come back for another number. That's the college. That's the equivalent of the college football scholarship thing.
Yep. Yep.
It's, hey, you're not performing to this. If you don't, we'd really like you to find another place to play. Mm-hmm. Because we got little Johnny coming in.
How do you think these coaches will handle...
We think he's got a higher ceiling.
the next thing is, how do these coaches handle the portal? Because
I don't know.
If Jack Miller comes
to you,
we're
going to have to deal with it here.
Or whoever, right? Insert player here. Jack
Miller. One of the running backs. One of the receivers.
One of the running backs.
Fleming.
One of the wideouts. Any of these guys come to you and say, you know what, Ryan, I don't see a path on how I'm going to play. And you're not giving me a guarantee that I'm going to play or whatever. And I think it's just too crowded. I'm going to go to the portal. I want to know if I don't find a home that I'm comfortable with, am I okay to come back and compete and just stay at Ohio State and, you know, blah, blah, blah. That's the next, like, we always talk about teams like Northwestern trying to pick guys that aren't happy and bring them in for a year, you know, supplement for a year. And that's one angle. The other angle is the coaches that are willing to be like, go ahead. Yeah, we're not going to fill your scholarship. And if you don't find anything, you can dip out of the portal and come home, you know, and we'll be here for you.
Yeah.
But if there's a better opportunity, I'm all for it. Just to give, because you know what? How many kids might look somewhere and be like, ah, I'm not sure that's really a, I don't know. Or they visit and they're like, no, that's not the same. Then it feel right. No, I'm just going to stay and compete and just get a degree here and, you know, ride it out. Like, there are some kids that will do that. We've seen some kids enter the portal and come out of it and stay already. I believe it happened at Penn State last year or 2 years ago. And so there are players that do that. Or will you have some coaches who say, no, you enter the portal, you're out. You're out. Scholarship's gone. It might be. But how does that help you if he decides you know, he doesn't want to, you know, like now you don't have somebody at depth that knows your system, knows you. So it's just a whole new world of, it's not free agency, but it basically is freedom, you know, flexibility that you're going to have to navigate.
And the biggest difference is they don't really have to ask.
Yes.
They can just go.
Yes.
There's no penalty. Like, we're going, I'll be gone. I'll see you. I'm out.
Right.
Wait,
yes.
What?
Yes.
Wait, hold on.
Yes.
All right, I'm gone. I get one free transfer. I'm using it right now. It's
right.
Been fun. I'll see you on down the road.
And but you can still
not
pop in the portal and not actually
we're gonna have
follow
to deal
through
with it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Absolutely. We're going to have to deal with it on the bottom of our roster, but there's going to be people who have to deal with it at the top of their roster. And that's when, like, the first name I thought of with that is Michael Penix.
Yeah.
I thought about Michael Penix, and I thought, boy, he's... What a valuable commodity he is. So now imagine if you're Auburn, let's say, and now he's got a great relationship in Indiana. This is all hypothetical. This isn't pay attention to the scores. This is just hypothetical.
Oh, yeah.
But all of a sudden, let's say Auburn, SEC school, says, hey.
Come on, you can't
forget
be in
it. Texas.
State.
What if Texas? What come if Steve Sarkisian says, hey, man, you saw what I did with Mac Jones. Why don't you come down here?
Come down
you know
here.
The talent we have down here. You know who we got at running back. You know who we have at receivers. Come here and play in this system.
Yeah.
Watch me get the best out of you. You want to play on a big stage?
Right.
How's Texas sound?
What are you going to do in Bloomington after you're done? Look at Austin. Look at the opportunities
correct.
You can do if you win the Big 12 down here.
Think of the opportunities.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Name him Gillette.
That's going to be.
You can do some signings here. Look what Vince Young did. Come on.
Yeah.
You win a Big 12 championship here and we get to the playoff? The first time out of the Big 12? Come on.
Yeah.
Come do that. You're not beating Ohio
State. That's the.
You're not living in Bloomington when you're done.
So we. No. And that's the problem. That's the hard part. For us, it's going to be the bottom of our roster.
Right.
for everybody else,
poor India
it's
going like, to listen to us right
Craig
now.
Mertz.
Just turned us off.
Right. Yeah. Well, I mean, but that's the reality of it. It's going to be the top of the roster for all those guys.
Yeah.
And it's a tough spot, and it's going to be it's where we are, and it's going to be brand new. And I saw Gonzo reintroducing the name, image, and likeness bill today, so he's back to that, and that's where we're headed.
Gonzo.
It's going to help. It's going to come quickly.
I texted Gonzo the other day. He got right back to me, like he's not trying to make put.
Of course he did.
Like my man, the brotherhood.
He's a good man.
Sacred brotherhood.
He's a good man. Like that guy a lot. It's a good. That's a good human being right there. A lot of integrity with that dude. Coming up next. I don't even know who this human is. I swear to God, I did not know who this human was, but he sold 1.4 million pay-per-view units over the weekend. I do now, and it tells you a little bit of how crazy we are. We'll get to it coming up next. Bishop and Laurinaitis right here on The Fan.
Season ticket holder from day one? Us too. Now and forever, your flagship home of the Columbus Blue Jackets. The Fan, Ohio sports destination. The best in the Midwest. You're listening to Bishop and Laurinaitis.
Bishop and Laurinaitis right here on The Fan. If you've listened to the show, you know that I at least try to take my health seriously, pay attention. And so one of those things is drinking water. And when you turn on the faucet and you smell chlorine, sometimes you're wondering to yourself, I know it's okay, but is it really elite? Are you going to have elite water? And then I heard T-Bone talking about Connecticut Water Systems. I called them. They came out, tested my water for free. And next thing you know, I got a nice little whole home system. No more buying bottled water at the Lauren Ice household. So use the word James, and you get $200 off your new equipment purchase at ConnecticutColumbus.com.
Did you know who Jake Paul is?
No, I did not. And then, you know, you do a little quick Google, and you start to worry about the direction
of the world,
of society, and, yeah, you know, and...
Chops, did you?
Sorry, what was the question?
Do you know who Jake Paul is? Did you know before?
Yeah, I know who Jake Paul is.
Chops is caller number 3 on the taco giveaway.
And you know who
Chops is doing? He keeps calling and hanging
out. He's calling to get the tacos.
Studio from his cell phone.
Chops, what? So it, which one is it? Jake or Logan? Who's the one who boxed over the weekend?
Jake Paul is the one who boxed over the weekend.
Okay,
but they're both YouTube celebrities.
They're basically like kind of jerks from the Cleveland area. Is that?
I guess that's another way to describe them. Yeah,
is that a good way to put it?
They do like, you know, like stupid prank stuff, but it's really just like being mean to your friends while you pay for them to live in a house in Los Angeles.
Okay, that's the gimmick, and they've made a lot of money doing this.
Makes sense.
Okay, so they also. So they made a lot of money doing this, like a lot of money doing this apparently. And they've, they also have branched off into like MMA and boxing. So what they're really good at is promoting.
Yeah.
They're really good at it. They can talk smack and they will back it up and they are more than willing to play the jerk. I mean, it seems like they thrive in it.
Yeah.
So this Jake Paul,
you gotta
dude,
be a babyface or a heel to get over. All right,
and their
my dad
heels
taught me that at day one. You can't be lukewarm. You ain't getting anywhere.
Yeah. Well, how would you explain them then?
They're jerks. People like to root for jerks. Yeah, that's
but
why I like
not
the heels. No, they're heels. Yeah, people. It's like why? For instance, why are both news stations?
But they were the most popular. Like they weren't. It wasn't like.
There's a
fascinating... You know, like Bobby the Brain Heenan or, like, you know, Mr. Perfect, like Ravishing Rick Rude. Like, they weren't
people
in that. Like,
hated The Rock at first.
Yeah.
Hated The Rock. And all it takes is one rock bottom to Vince McMahon, and now all of a sudden he's babyface. Oh, he turned... Woo! And they still love him.
But the Road Warriors were that for tag team. Like, they were the most popular tag team in the world.
But at first they
weren't
liked. They were...
Like, I
they
wouldn't
got
call
them
a baby... Call them
baby they would
faces,
walk through.
Though.
They would walk through and push the crowd
right
before they had ramps. They'd walk
the one
when
the you sent me of them,
fans.
When they were in the baseball field in Atlanta?
Oh, yeah.
Holy cow.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah. There's random stuff that'll just pop on my IG that I'm like, oh, man, I forgot about this one.
Look at this.
Yeah.
Holy cow.
There's not, anyway, there's not a match I haven't seen naturally, you know, whether I wanted to or not.
Right, right.
You know, there's a whole lot of, look how big my traps were there. I see. They're still big, Dad. They're still big.
So this kid... he's a really good heel. He sold 1.4 million pay-per-views to watch him do some, I think it was MMA, against Ben Askren, who's a longtime MMA guy. And there's been this video come out of Askren afterwards with a huge smile. He basically was one-punched by this Jake Paul guy. So, but they sold 1.4 million, right?
Mm.
So that's a pretty good chunk of change. Mm. So now there's all this talk that this kid's going to fight McGregor. And he was talking trash to Daniel Cormier.
Yes, keep it going.
Like, I don't think they're dumb enough to do that, are they?
I don't know. Maybe. Who knows? Just keep it going. It's fascinating that, look, there hasn't been a fight that I've been willing to pay since I like paid for Brock Lesnar to get tapped out, you know, when he first crossed over. And since then, I'm like, I'm just done with it. It doesn't appeal to me.
Yeah,
the whole
I paid for
thing.
A Stipe fight a couple of years ago, but rare. I'm with you, and
yeah.
I think it's probably the biggest problem is an inability, especially in boxing, to develop any sort of star power.
I just don't know what belt means what. There's too
I don't
many.
Either.
Like
I don't,
well,
either.
I don't understand. Like if you had one world champion, boom, they're the world champ. I feel like back in the day, you knew when Aldi was a champ or not. You know, and at least when you watched, like when I watched film of them boxing, I was like, well, at least they're. You get the semblance of who the champ is. Now it's like Floyd Mayweather has like 16 belts. He's got his whole posse carrying one.
You can go all the way through. You go back, you know, you think about boxing and obviously Buster, what he did to Mike, but you think about Mike Tyson and Holyfield, and then you think about Riddick Bowe or Lennox Lewis. And on smaller cards, you know, smaller weight class, you think of like Sugar Ray Leonard, Thomas Hearns. You certainly think of oh my God, Roy Jones Jr. And like when those guys fought, De La Hoya, those guys, when those guys fought Floyd Mayweather, you wanted to see it. And I don't even know who is that. I don't know who that is anymore.
Yes. Yep.
Manny Pacquiao. Like, you wanted to see those guys fight. I don't even know who those guys are. I don't know who occupies that realm.
Yeah.
No, in it anymore. I don't know who the best pound for pound is.
I don't either.
And that's something that you, for a long time, you knew. And now you live in this world where this guy, this kid is doing whatever he did, selling a million four buys. So there's obviously an appetite for it.
Yeah.
You got Tyson and Holyfield are reengaging in it. I mean, it's crazy. Yeah. It's absolutely crazy. So
it's amazing. There are certain points in time, and this is a little off subject, but before we go to break, where you have to kind of say, I believe we had that.
Yeah.
Did you see how many players showed up at the Broncos voluntary workouts today?
I did not.
They're the first team to come out saying, we're not doing them. We're not doing them. We're not safe. 20 players, including Drew Lock.
Showed up.
Yeah. You cannot get everybody on board.
It's too hard
to... The PA cannot get everybody on board. It's impossible because those 20 players don't agree with what their team reps were pressured or not pressured to sign. And they said, no, we're going to show up.
Well, it's a big problem in Dallas because Zeke...
Why does Drew Lock show up? He doesn't want them to take a quarterback. The Wally Pitt. I'm here, guys. Don't take a QB.
Dak, Zeke, and those guys have $500,000 workout bonuses in Dallas.
Yeah.
So they'll be
show
there.
Up. I'd be there, yeah.
Yeah, I don't care how much money you have. 500 grand's a lot of money. So that's, you know, it's going to be hard. It's hard to hold ranks for the NFLPA. You can talk a good game when it comes down to it, though. The money's going to talk. A little bit of Shelly time coming your way next. Bishop Laurinaitis right here on The Fan.
Rothman and Ice, the hardest working radio show in the business. This may offend our other shows, but honestly, they're too lazy to care.
Weekdays from noon to 3.
The Fan. Check your watch jackets, fans. It's Shelly time with Bishop and Laurinaitis.
Sponsored by Moomoo Express Car Wash, proud partner of the Columbus Blue Jackets.
All right, let's time for a little Shelly time. Our good buddy Jody Shelly joining us. Patrick Marleau, when you pass Gordie Howe, that's something, man. 1768, Jody, over 23 seasons done last night. Boy, that's a lot. That's a lot to get through, and James and I were talking about early in the show. That seems like one that'll stand for a while.
Yeah. I mean, to pass any record of Gordie Howe is unbelievable. And that guy, I played with him in San Jose, the most versatile, the most just an unbelievable player. And for him to do that last night, you know it's coming, and then you see it, and it just puts you at awe. Incredible.
Jody, I'm wondering, that's not something – what year do you think he realized, holy smokes, this is possible? I was telling the story to Bo earlier in the show that I had no idea or even goal of catching Merlin Olsen and the Rams for the tackle record. I'm like, it didn't register. I was just trying to keep my job. And then all of a sudden the PR guy says, hey, by the way, you know, you're – By about a year away, you might be able to do it if you stay healthy. Like, oh, well, that's cool. And it kind of gave you a little extra motivator, Chip, to kind of work with. When do you think he realizes this? Like, when did he – I don't assume that you get into the NHL thinking, yep, I'm going to break any one of Gordie Howe's records. When do you think it dawned on him that he could accomplish this?
Yeah, I would say 4 or 5 years ago probably. I mean, because this is a guy that he just shows up and goes to work. He's a farmer from Saskatchewan.
Love it.
I'm telling you, in the locker room, you don't even really know he's there. He's just that type of president. He comes in, he works hard, he takes care of himself, he goes home to his family. And I bet you 3 or 4 years ago, he's like, wow, this might be something if I can stay healthy. And you know what it's like, James. You just keep your head down, exactly what you just said, and just take one day at a time. And that's the cliche that, you know, you always hear. But it's really the focus, all he's taken, his approach. There's a pro, then there's a pro's pro, and Patrick Marleau is the ultimate pro. Good on him to get this. It's a remarkable thing, and once you realize it, then I'd say he really started to focus. I'm sure he's glad it's over. You know what I mean? Like that's a pretty heady thing to think about for the last, even this season coming in, every single day. Stay healthy, play the game, just keep doing what you're doing.
It's remarkable. And Jody, since you played in San Jose, this is a very appropriate question for you because, you know, I didn't realize it had been 23 years for him, but they're a tough follow because of when they play. They've been good a lot, but they play 10 o'clock a lot of their games. They're the West Coast. There's not a huge media throng around them. What is it like? What is life like for Patrick Marleau with the San Jose Sharks?
It's very under the radar. I mean, the thing about San Jose, you have a very strong fan base there, and they're loyal. But you're also, you're out of the mix a little bit. You know, it's not, there's not a big spotlight out there. But Patrick Marleau is a guy, it doesn't matter where you go, what background you are, you know he is the leader of the San Jose Sharks. So it's pretty cool.
Yeah.
You know, Joe Thornton loved it out there for that reason. He was tucked away. He could live a life that was pretty off the radar as far as interviews and TV time and people knowing who he was. But for Patrick Marleau, he's like the mayor or the you know, the president out there. He's a guy that's just royalty because how he takes care of himself. He's a very private person, but he's very thoughtful and just kind of flies under the radar in San Jose.
Jody, this isn't off the beaten path because I really don't want to bring up the loss last night. I don't want to bring up the losing streak. I don't want to talk about the unlucky bounce off Seth's skate in front of the net. I don't want to talk about, I believe, Stenlund back-checking, not getting a stick on a stick and getting it off the ice on a three. Anyway, there's a lot I don't want to talk about. But just give me your top five players, no matter position, top five in the NHL right now. Shelley's five.
My top five players. Well, Patrick Kane is up there as one of the top wingers. You got Austin Matthews as the top center with McDavid. And that's when you think up front. And then on D, there's some really good players. I'm going to go with Makar in Colorado, a team we don't talk about at all. He's a player that's in his second year pro, and he is elite. Rookie of the year last year as that defenseman. And then the other top defenseman for me is Hedman. So a lot of guys that we see with Kane and, you know, Tavares, or not Tavares, Matthews in the East. But I love Hedman. I think he's a horse back there. Patrick Kane, I mean, it's remarkable what he's doing. At his age, with a team that really wasn't expected much, he is the star that's driving it. And then, yeah, Connor McDavid. We don't stay up late enough to watch him, but if you do get a chance to see him, it's he has another level of speed that is, you can't explain it, you can't understand it, but when you watch it, it blows you away every single time.
Do you think he'll play his whole career out there, Joe, in Edmonton?
I don't know. I'd be surprised. Sometimes the look on his face, with some of the things that have gone on there, just not winning, I think that catches up with you quick as a young superstar, especially if you see Matthews win or run for a championship this year. He might get a little impatient. I would not be surprised if he ended it somewhere else.
Yeah.
Jody, Max Domi's a healthy scratch again tonight. Anything into that? Is it just time to look at others? What should I read into that?
Oh, no. No, it's not. And listen, you don't want to be a healthy scratch.
No.
What they're saying is they played well last night. They like the way they did things. They're not going to change the lineup. Don't look into it other than that. Once you're out and the team plays well, guess what? You got a scratch and claw to get back in. So now it's watching him out away from the rink. It's watching him practice. It's getting reports on what he's doing, you know, for training. It's fighting your way to get back in. That's how you get back in. The torch isn't going to hand him anything right now.
Jody, give the fans who are going to watch this again tonight, obviously streak is what it is. It's going in the negative. It's been tough for a month now. Give them something positive to look for tonight. If you're a Jackets fan, you're watching tonight and you love your team. Give me something that they need to see from a positive aspect that'll leave you to believe that you'll get out of Florida with at least something positive, even if you don't get a result.
Well, what they did last night, Bo, was they came out and played kind of a freer game. Better checking the neutral zone and not giving away passes. The game before, you'd see just a simple breakout pass, a backhand pass Gavrikov made early in the game 2 games ago, and it's 5 feet in front of the player he was trying to hit, and then it's a turnover and they're coming back the other way. So if they play very simple out of their own end, and if they check well in the neutral zone, stick checks, and it used to be body checks, but just it shows that they're on the puck. And if you look for that tonight, you'll see a team that's given themselves a chance to win. And really, I thought they played really well last night. And I know everyone says, oh, you're just so positive. No, they played well. It was a better brand of hockey. It was a chance to give themselves the 2 points. They just, you know, there was a couple moments that got away from them. And other than that, I think that's all you got to look for is good checking and on the puck. They got to be on the puck, not standing still. You know, when you see them with their skates wide apart and gliding to a puck, they're not going to get it. They got to be engaged and skate through the puck.
Yeah. And you hope that those habits come through. And honestly, when you have all the losses that we've had, the result really isn't the most important. It's everything else that's there. Joe, good talking to you as always, my friend.
All right, guys. Good talking to you. Go Jackets.
All right, that's our buddy Jody Shelley. A little bit of Shelley time here on The Fan. Three things coming up next on a Tuesday edition. Bishop and Laurinaitis right here on The Fan.
Always imitated, never duplicated. Your heritage sports talker and flagship home for Ohio State athletics. The Fan, Ohio's sports destination. Drinking responsibly with a touch of class. This is Bishop and Laurinaitis.
It's time for three things. On a Tuesday edition, hit a chopper.
One, two.
Three things with Bishop and Laurinaitis.
Sponsored by Custom Air. Custom Air. Custom Solutions. Custom Comfort.
Number one for me, the blonde and I learned a tough lesson yesterday. So Black Cobra played lacrosse on Sunday in the rain. And so post the game, we put the gear all in the back of the vehicle, came home. He had practice last night. All right, let's go. Let's get it out. Yeah. Gloves are soaked. They're frozen.
Ooh.
They're soaked.
Ooh.
And I went, boy, we blew this. We blew this pretty bad. And I'm sure you've had to deal with this with hockey. What did you use to dry out?
Well, you got to buy one of those things you can find at like a Dick's Sporting Goods, you know, where you have the you got to do the hunting gloves, you know,
the
boot dryers, yeah,
boot dryer
gloves on there. Boom.
All right, that's what I need.
That's what you got to do. You got to get yourself there.
I was like, dude, this is. I tried putting some liners underneath them, but they just soaked through. Luckily, his brother had a pair, but I had to run home and get him. And then,
nothing worse than when you would open up your hockey bag and be like, "I forgot to take it out of my car," and it's wet and borderline freezing. Depending on some days, it would be freezing. A little ice on the shin,
sure,
on the little shin pads, on the breezers. That's always a fun getting dressed there. Anyway, my first thing. How about a little good news? At least one of us will be asked to go back in studio in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
And I'm not excited to see Chops at all. That's not it. Not it at all. I'm excited to get food down in the Grandview area / Upper Arlington on the way home. Most especially Brassica. And every time I step into Brassica, I'm going to say to you, shame on you for not being in Dublin yet. That is all.
Can't wait to see you, James. My first thing, a food truck pulled up into the parking lot right across the street from my apartment yesterday. And even though we were making a meatloaf for dinner, I was like, well, I have to support local businesses. So I went over there and I got one of their burgers just to try it out to make sure what we're dealing with here. It was pretty good. It was a place called Burger Lab. So I enjoyed that. I don't know when to eat at food trucks. They're not something I would really drive to. And then there's too many choices whenever there's like a collection of them at like a fair or any sort of like festival or something like that. So it was nice to just have the one right there, single choice.
I do agree with you. I find it intimidating if there's a bunch. I don't know where
you never
to go.
Know which one to pick.
I don't know what to pick. It seems like it's a really big decision. And if you don't like it,
you feel like you missed out and you could have picked a different one.
That's true.
Yeah, and you feel bad.
That's tough.
I always get nervous with that. Number two for me, as I mentioned earlier in the show, stumbled on the show Black Sails. Look, I'm not going to act like it's revolutionary. It's fine. It's a fine show. It was on Stars. It's about pirates and the Bahamas and the settling and the raiding of merchant ships, blah, blah, blah. What I've decided, though, is that when in doubt, I am a sucker for a historical drama. If you put swords in it, I'm probably going to give it a run. Mm-hmm. You put it in the Old West, I'm probably going to give it a run. If you have a little bit of history to it, and even if there's a shadow of truth to it, I'm probably going to give it a run. It's pretty much that simple.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm with you there. My second thing, if you are a delivery person coming to our house, as you approach the door, you will see a giant, not small, but a large sign that says, "Do not ring the doorbell. We have a sleeping baby and dogs." So the fact that I've had two morons ring the doorbell this morning already just blows my mind. And if I wasn't live on air, I would have spoken through the doorbell cam and said, "Read the sign!"
my second thing, guess that's it. Just read the sign.
That's it. Read it. Not that hard.
It's not hard. It's all there.
Kit had a grooming appointment yesterday, and she's not a long-haired dog, so it's not like fully necessary. She's had some dry skin that we're trying to figure out. She got her teeth brushed, her ears cleaned, that kind of stuff. But what we really did it for was because we needed her nails clipped, and they buffed them down, too. They added that on it, and that's very nice because she's really, as she jumps up, she's really scratching, especially with that front like dew claw that doesn't really hit the pavement at all. That one was coming in hot, and I have scars on my arms now in the same spot on each arm, but hopefully this will help with that.
Yeah, certainly so there, Chopper. Good job at you. Finally for me, tomorrow's going to test you. Snow, cold, potential, it's going to test you. Do not let it defeat you, because you're talking about 80s next week. It's a couple of days we got to get through.
That's so funny.
And you got to keep your head up. You can't let it break you. Remember how great March is. Try to just power through it. Stay busy tomorrow. Do not let it break you.
If I wake up to 1 to 2 inches of snow on the ground or snowflakes falling,
yeah,
a couple things might happen. The realtor's going to get a phone call. A for sale sign's going to go up. And I'm going to have a glass of bourbon when we kick off the first Friday show.
At 7 a.m.
Got ready.
Let's just not pretend that what I said wasn't just kind of a veiled, you know, boost of confidence to you. And hopefully for Cersei. Just, it's one day. Get through one day.
I'm just telling you. I know. It might not even be my choice. I might not even get off air tomorrow. And they'll be like, hold on, when did the realtor get here? I don't know. We have 4 showings. What? What are we going to do with the dogs?
James is moving to the Rocket Mortgage Draft House.
If I wake up, that's right. I swear to goodness.
Oh. Breathe.
Speaking of real estate, the house search continues for us. It's a pretty frustrating endeavor, but we're at the point where we're trying to go to at least one that we like that comes through the search at least one a week. And we're going to figure it out from there, and hopefully we find the right one.
Man, you may have to go out in the suburbs, Chopper. Go deep into the suburbs.
Well, it's hard because you find one you like, and then you put an offer in, and then somebody else offers above you, and nothing you can do.
I'm terrified about all of that. That's the reality now. It all is troubling in the midst of a pandemic to me. We'll hit your first Friday tomorrow.
No, everything just goes up and to the right forever.
It's all fine. Yeah, it's all fine forever. Everybody's got money for all of this. The value keeps going up and up and up. Rothman and Ice up next. We're back tomorrow. Bishop and Laurinaitis right here on the Fan.